Welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. Happy Thursday, everyone. It's been a kind of a dry news week, I'd say. But we've got a lot of that's kind of been flying under the radar that we're going to be exposing today. So we're excited that you're all jumping on board with us. I mean, I'm used to chaos. I probably like chaos, given the fact that I've been in the news world for, you know, a couple of years now. And it's strange when things are running smoothly and there's not much going on. I mean, there's a lot going on, but there's not much going on. That's how I feel these days. The mainstream media obviously hyper-focus on things that will just divide this country, of course, but there's news stories that they won't tell you about that we are going to be diving into today, so I'm excited that you're all joining me. I'll be joined today by Douglas Mackey. He's joining us to sound off with the First Amendment, the violations of the First Amendment. He even wants to talk a little bit about Alex Jones and the Supreme Court shooting down his appeal. Not interested in hearing it, so Mackie wants to sound off on that, so he'll join us in the show today, as well as my good friend Mark Mitchell. He'll be joining us because there's a new poll out, and it's very interesting because it has a lot to do with how Americans feel about Israel these days. And surprise, surprise, Americans are no longer really kind of favoring Israel. We're seeing the numbers drop, and Mark's going to break all of that down for us because he's been polling America and how Americans feel about Israel for quite some time now, and he's breaking down all of the numbers. The point drops have actually been very significant, so this is definitely something that's worth your attention, of course. But we've got a lot more going on in the world today. You know, I was quite surprised that John Bolton hasn't yet been indicted yet, but it looks like we've got an update on that front, that there's potentially a charge that might drop very, very soon. That's according to a lot of reports right now. So again, nothing as of yet, but this report I'm going to break down for you, kind of detailing what we can expect, because apparently people do believe that he will be charged very, very soon. It was expected to be this week, so I'll bring you the latest on that as well. Yesterday, the Supreme Court, we brought you a little bit about what was happening in the Supreme Court. It was Louisiana, the voting rights situation, and it was a lot to do with race and gerrymandering, and obviously Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was very upset, even at one point referring to Black Americans as disabled. Yeah, it's kind of what you'd expect from a race-baiting woman like herself. So we'll be talking about that because it's worth your attention. I mean, they think the American people are stupid. We'll continue to fall for all this race-baiting, but we're over it. We're not falling for this. We're also going to be talking about J6 because there was a very interesting clip that made its way to the internet yesterday. Alison Steinberger actually confronted, she's an independent reporter for Lindell TV. She actually confronted Nancy Pelosi yesterday, and the clip went viral. She's going to join us tomorrow on the program, but the clip went viral, and it's because obviously Nancy Pelosi doesn't like being confronted with her own lies. I'm going to break that down for you, plus President Trump sounding off about Jack Smith and how he thinks Jack Smith is actually a criminal, which is something we've all known for quite some time now. So we'll be talking about that as well. We'll also give you a little bit about Ghislaine Maxwell, the update regarding her prison conditions right now. It's pretty insane, and how there's a new lawsuit that's kind of pointing the finger at Bank of America in regards to its ties to Jeffrey Epstein as well. This is really important. This is going to be a good one that you're going to want to dive into. So many of these banks settled these lawsuits against Epstein victims, and you haven't really heard much about it. You haven't really heard much about it. This one's interesting, though, so we'll break that down for you. Also, AOC and Bernie Sanders were on, so bad, they were on CNN yesterday, and it was like a battle of stupidity between the two of them. We'll give you a good laugh, I promise you that. Very good laugh. You know, AOC doesn't want you to have to swallow toxic air and drink it. I don't know what she was saying about that. It was pretty absurd, but she wants you to be able to drink the air. That's how good the air quality has to be for AOC. Because they're not very intelligent, and we keep electing them to office. We as Americans only have ourselves to blame, especially because, you know, low voter turnout in her district is one of the main reasons why we still have to tolerate her stupidity. So I'll be breaking all of that down for you in today's show. We got a lot to talk about, so do not go anywhere. Make sure in the meantime, though, you download the Alex Jones app right now. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download it to stay in touch with us, of course. And it's number one on the Apple Store. So head on over there and download the app right now. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Just keep your mouth shut?
Oh,
because you showed
up. Is that the way to
you
talk?
You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right
a
now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up, but we're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and gear. Promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Journal, everyone. Good morning. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. Happy Thursday. A lot going on in the world. Thanks for joining us. You know, I feel like it's a mix of both, right? It's a little bit of a chaotic news cycle, I'd say. Plus, there's really not much that's going on in the mainstream media world. It's how they try to just divert your attention. There's a lot happening that they don't want you talking about, so we're going to be talking about it for the next 3 hours today. So welcome to the program. As I was just saying just moments ago, we're going to be joined by Douglas Mackey. He's joining the program later on in the show. He wants to sound off about all things First Amendment, and of course he wants to sound off about the Supreme Court refusing to hear Alex Jones's appeal. Obviously, this is someone who was willing to go to prison to uphold the First Amendment and to fight for our rights. So it'll be good to have him on to talk all about that. We'll also be joined by Mark Mitchell, because Mark Mitchell has a brand new poll out regarding how Americans truly feel about Israel. And you'd be surprised to know that they actually aren't, they're not very supportive these days. The numbers have dropped significantly, and Mark Mitchell has been polling Americans on this for several months now, and the numbers are dipping. And so Mark's will be joining us to break all of that down, so we're excited for that, of course. We're also excited to be talking about J6, because a lot is going on regarding that. Now, again, people like Nancy Pelosi don't want you talking about it. In fact, she calls it a Republican talking point if you mention her failures on January 6th. I wouldn't even say they're failures. I would say her intentional failures at this point, because it's very, very obvious that she intentionally failed the American people, but it was a setup. It was a setup. And so if you go and you ask her about it, you confront her on her own nonsense, she doesn't like it. She becomes unhinged, and she almost literally spit out her dentures. And talking to reporter Allison Steinberger later this week. So it was like a little interesting sitting back watching. Allison's going to be joining us actually tomorrow morning to break all of that down for us. But we'll be talking overall about J6 and how President Trump is saying, thankfully, that Jack Smith's a criminal and how he belongs in prison. I've got that clip for you as well. Because, of course, you know, we're all biased here, but I actually believe and I do agree with the president on that front. So let's call that out, too. We've got a ton of news that we're going to kick off. So let's start unpacking through everything I've got lined up for you today. First things first, obviously another judge who is overreaching has just shot down President Trump's efforts to fire federal workers during the shutdown. Of course, in case you're wondering, this is a Clinton-appointed judge who has decided to go against the American people and make sure that we can't fire these federal employees. Now, again, this is insane. This is absurd, but they do not stop when it comes to overreach. The judge emphasized that the human cost of firing federal employees during a shutdown is unacceptable. I mean, how does a judge just skip over the executive branch and just decide that they're going to rule the land? That's what we're dealing with right now. Obviously, it's a takeover of these judges. They just all happen to be Clinton, Biden, Obama appointed judges, of course. And they just don't care. They just don't care. Now, again, this is just another stance of how a court is blocking Trump's executive actions despite the Supreme Court decision intended to limit how these judges are able to step in and intervene. They don't care. You didn't elect these judges, but they rule us, apparently. That's how they view all of this. Of course, President Trump has every right to fire employees. Democrats want to keep the government locked down. Cool. We'll trim the fat now. Of course, you know, the DOJ is going to appeal this. Everyone's going to push forward with this. But again, it's another absurd, absurd case of a rogue judge just deciding, we're not going to follow what the President of the United States wants to do, even though he was elected by the people in this country. We are actually going to push back. The level of absurdity with these judges is just insane. And there's not much that's being done, right? We're not even entertaining the conversation of possibly pulling them off the bench. I don't hear any of that from members of Congress. Now, again, the government's currently shut down. I think we're on, day 14. Because, Democrats want you to pay for illegal aliens to have health care in this country. And if you're unwilling to do that, they're just going to shut down the government. I keep asking Americans too, on social media, how do you guys feel about a government shutdown? Has this affected you? And most of you at home are like, not me. Not me. So, it's a little upsetting for those who, and our service members are going to get paid. And that's what Democrats hate so much, because President Trump went around them holding our service members hostage. I mean, they're literally going off and sounding off on the issue. They are so upset that President Trump is shifting money over to make sure they get paid. Because that's who their hostages were. Now what do they have? Obviously, ICE agents, our empathy is with them, of course, because they're doing an incredible service for this country. But TSA, my friend was at the airport the other day, and she's like, the TSA agents were like, we're not getting paid right now. We're working for free. So don't give us a problem. But you're not technically working for free. You're just waiting for your paycheck, first off. Second off, most of you are just so incompetent. I mean, TSA literally has a massive, across all airports, has a massive failure rating when it comes to being able to actually find weapons. So what are we doing here? Why are we continuing to fund TSA? They don't like talking about that, though. Also, it's worth noting that apparently there's going to be a debate very soon between both Speaker Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries. Apparently, this debate will happen on C-SPAN. It has not yet been scheduled. It will take place on C-Spire. Interesting, though. Interesting. I mean, this should happen ASAP. Hakeem Jeffries would probably just tell him to shut up. Don't speak. You can't speak to us. It's insane, but this is what's going on right now in this country. They have this country being held hostage. It's interesting because folks all around the country are actually pleading for us to reopen the government. Take a listen to clip one, because this clip specifically highlights how home builders, specifically the home builder chairman, is somehow pleading to end the government shutdown. Take a listen.
Hello, my name is Buddy Hughes, and I'm a small builder developer from Lexington, North Carolina. And this year, 2025, I am the chairman of the board of the National Association of Home Builders. And I'm here today to urge Congress to end this shutdown as soon as possible, because any federal program that touches housing, from loan processing to block grants, is slowing down. If this shutdown drags on for weeks, we could see real impacts on mortgage access and home buyer demand. The longer Washington stays gridlocked, the more uncertainty spreads through the housing market. The National Flood Insurance Program cannot issue new policies or renewals during the shutdown. Home sales in flood-prone areas are on hold, particularly for federally backed mortgages. When flood insurance isn't available, sales simply can't close.
Obviously, folks, you understand the importance of flood insurance, especially being that if you live in Florida right now and other states that are affected by hurricane season, this is a big deal. This is a big deal for you. But in clip two, Hakeem Jeffries really highlights the fact that he's an absolute moron, and he kind of rhymes his way through it. Take a listen.
House Republicans shut the government down. Then they ran out of town. And for the last 3 weeks, they're nowhere to be found.
This guy's a moron. He is an absolute moron. Here's the thing, right? I love how they're trying to reangle all of this as if it is a Republican government shutdown. It's not a Republican government shutdown. Maybe if you have a low IQ and you don't understand how government works and how government functions, you would believe that that is true. Again, I don't think I want to put all the blame on Democrats. I do believe Republicans do have obviously a significant role in all of this. But again, I'm just so done with this. I'm so done with this. D.C. obviously thinks that reopening the government should be top priority. And yeah, there are reasons I could hear that argument through. But we don't care on the other side of all of this. Listen, we're done with the wasteful spending. We're done with them holding us hostage and making us pay for things like the LGBT whatever propaganda that they try to push through everything. We're done with all of this. So if Hakeem Jeffries and everyone else on board wants to continue to go out there and advocate for illegal aliens, do what you gotta do. Republicans need to move on. There are ways for us to go around all of this. They just haven't done anything. So yeah, it's Chuck Schumer shutdown. We get it. But folks, there are so much things that could be done right now that they're not doing. Let's shift gears a little bit because I want to talk about John Bolton. John Bolton, obviously, and we talked about the court filings, which I found to be very fascinating. John Bolton has been accused for many years now of taking home classified documents. Remember, there was that huge court, the judge who ripped him a new one, actually, I should say, when he released a book, and he got very close to detailing information that should not have been made public. Then they raided his home, his office. They did apparently find classified documents according to court records. Now, according to the latest reports, he is expected to face a federal indictment after being accused of mishandling and transmitting classified government documents while using his private AOL email account. He looks like he'd have an AOL email account. He does. I never doubted that with that man. Now, folks, again, the court filings did say that he did have documents in his office. Agents seized documents labeled classified, confidential, and secret material, including related to weapons of mass destruction and strategic communications. Now, according to reports, the indictment, which obviously would come from a grand jury, is anticipated to detail Bolton's mishandling of the classified documents during his time as President Trump's national security advisor. It goes on to say that he is in trouble right now because of his AOL, obviously, email address being used to also have those classified details on it through daily notes and summaries of his White House activities from 2018 to 2019. And again, they're saying that these notes that were in his AOL email account, this is the government suggesting this, were sensitive national security details. Why would John Bolton do this? One must ask. It's quite fascinating, though. It truly, truly is. You know, he's been accused. We've talked about it before. He's been accused of taking in classified documents. Everyone who read his book was like, your memory is way too good, John Bolton, to be able to detail this and to be very strategic about it. And long behold, apparently they found documents. Now, again, we don't know what kind of charges he's actually facing, but this is a very serious matter. And again, I talk about it all the time on Twitter. I know a lot of you see it. I'm constantly going over like how no one has been arrested yet in the Obama-Biden regime. John Bolton doesn't count. And everyone's like, oh, well, Bolton will get indicted. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count. Comey doesn't count either. Registered Republican, then went independent. Doesn't count. Tish James wasn't a part of the administration. Doesn't count. Now, I get it. You work your way up to the top normally. So there could be more indictments coming. We do hear that there are indictments coming. But again, enough is enough. So again, a Maryland grand jury is expected to possibly charge him by Thursday. And a reminder for all of you at home right now, John Bolton was fired in 2019 by President Trump over foreign policy disagreements. So this man has been a bitter troll for a very, very long time. But again, his indictment doesn't count. And I'm still going to keep posting that, by the way, in case you're wondering. we still have not seen meaningful arrests. And also Comey hasn't been arrested. Not only Comey, but obviously Tish James not arrested. So stop with the bare minimum. Doesn't count. It doesn't count. All right, yesterday we talked about what was happening in the Supreme Court. They heard opening arguments regarding Louisiana and the voting rights in Louisiana. Specifically, they're trying to make it a race bait argument regarding gerrymandering and saying that it violates the 14th and 15th Amendments. Now, obviously, someone like Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is someone you would expect to bite and take the bait. And she did just that yesterday. Somehow, some way, in clip three, actually kind of comparing black voters to disabled Americans. Take a listen.
I'm thinking of it, of the fact that remedial action, absent discriminatory intent, is really not a new idea in the civil rights laws. And my kind of paradigmatic example of this is something like the ADA. Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act against the backdrop of a world that was generally not accessible to people with disabilities. And so it was discriminatory in effect because these folks were not able to access these buildings. And it didn't matter whether the person who built the building or the person who owned the building intended for them to be exclusionary. That's irrelevant. Congress said the facilities have to be made equally open to people with disabilities if readily possible. I guess I don't understand why that's not what's happening here. The idea in Section 2 is that we are responding to current day manifestations of past and present decisions that disadvantage minorities and make it so that they don't have equal access to the voting system, right? They're disabled. In fact, we use the word disable in Milligan. We say that's a way in which you see that these processes are not equally open.
DEI has had some damaging effects for the Supreme Court by just bringing on board some of the dumbest human beings that you've probably heard from. She continues to argue the stupidest points imaginable. And then she expects, I was listening to her yesterday too, I was listening to some of the clips, and she's lecturing the attorneys on the other side of all of this and telling them, no, you have to listen to me. You have to listen to me. And the reality is you don't have to listen to her. In fact, I'd highly recommend most Americans just look the other way on this. Sadly, there's no way to get rid of her off of the Supreme Court through any type of actual impeachment process. We're stuck with her for a while now. So she'll keep giving us those great sound bites, but it's not just her. Obviously, it was the other attorneys on the other side trying to argue all of this and trying to guilt white Democrats for not apparently voting for black candidates. In clip four, you're going to hear just that. Take a listen.
That's right. And in the state of Louisiana, that analysis was conducted in the Nairn case. And it was clear that regardless of party, white Democrats were not voting for black candidates, whether they were Democrats or not. And we know that there is such a significant chasm between how black and white voters vote in Louisiana that there's no question that even if there is some correlation between race and party, that race is the driving factor.
Oh, that's what we have the Supreme Court talking about these days right now, except they can't hear up. Alex Jones is a legitimate case at this point. They want to sit here and argue about race gerrymandering, and it's just enough is enough. Enough is enough. Stop. And they don't realize this, right? They don't realize that Americans have had enough of them trying to guilt us into voting for minority candidates just because they're minority candidates. Prove you're not a racist. Vote for this black candidate. Not the fact that let's line up what their qualifications are to run for this position. That's not what we're arguing here. Instead, we're going to sit here, we're going to do the DEI nonsense with people running for office. So again, just enough is enough. You know, Americans are maxed out when it comes to this race-baiting guilt trip that those on the left want to continue to drive us down. We're done with it. Sitting there yesterday and having to listen and go through all the clips from the Supreme Court yesterday is just exhausting. It's exhausting. And there's very few people who will be honest and tell you just that. See, the reality is if Americans saw a qualified candidate for a position, regardless of race, they would support them. And they love to use the excuse of America will never elect a black president. And then when that finally happens, it just keeps going on. Now they want to guilt you into nominating and pushing forward people who are just awful for this country, people who are underqualified for positions. I'm just so tired of hearing about it. I do believe, though, based on the arguments that were being made yesterday before the Supreme Court, that they will side with sanity in this one and just move on. It was also interesting to hear from Harmeet Dhillon yesterday, who was there in the courtroom yesterday listening in on how the DOJ was arguing this case, working alongside, obviously, the state of Louisiana, of course. But it was interesting to listen to. All right, we're going to get to in just a few moments. We're going to be getting to the J6 information because this is very, very interesting about the argument about January 6th. Obviously, if you've been paying attention for, I don't know, like the last 5 years, you know that Nancy Pelosi intentionally failed to provide security that day. And everything that we're finding out about now that they wanted to block from us finding out about, well, it's telling us that these security failures, that the FBI's involved, everything was intentional. Everything was intentional. I mean, we had Steve Baker on last week, who's mapping us through the pipe bomber again. And again, we continue to hear about all of this stuff. And it's not surprising. The pipe bomber story is just another story, which is continuing to develop, obviously, but it just highlights the fact that the government had some role in all of this. I don't know how many more times I continue to say this. It's very, very obvious at this point. The only people that don't agree with that are the ones who sat there and watched the well-orchestrated J6 committee as they pushed for lies and decided that they weren't going to expose any of this. When they had zero interest in exposing this. Zero. Why? Because they were all involved in this. And as you heard Steve Baker said, initially it looked like the plan was to drop off these pipe bombs at the Black Caucus. Why? Well, because conservatives were coming to town. That's the likely assumption on that front. Want to make a bunch of Trump supporters look like a bunch of racists. Drop a pipe bomb right outside the Black Caucus. So everyone could pretend to be the victim here. So obviously Nancy Pelosi, and we'll play it for you after the break, Nancy Pelosi becoming very unhinged when she's confronted with the facts. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like it at all. President Trump going after Jack Smith and calling it out. Also, Adam Kinzinger, we talked about it yesterday in the show. I don't understand why people aren't talking about this more. It's insane to me that the congressional investigation that was just recently conducted found out that the J6 committee collected 30 million lines of phone data without a subpoena. So interesting enough, and then, without a warrant, I should say, because then they wanted to give it over to the FBI right before the major presidential election. They tried their very best, Adam Kinzinger, to allegedly hand this over to the man running the FBI at the time, which was Christopher Wray. And so when you look at all of this, you start to understand there's a lot going on here. So we're going to dig into this in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. There is more to discuss. And we've also got an incredible sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, 25% off site-wide. So head on over there. Now is the time to buy. It is the Alex Jones Super Sale Fundraiser. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and buy.
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me because you don't want to hear what I have to say. So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, we'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition for veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, but I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing, but it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon, and that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Thursday, everyone. Oh, there's a lot going on over here. We got a very full schedule today, so thanks for jumping on with me. Folks, I want to highlight the fact that Nancy Pelosi is a train wreck, always has been, always will be. I can't tell, though, if she's honest. I know we joke about it. If she's drinking by like 9 a.m. every day, or if that's just how she is these days. You see, yesterday she was confronted by the very incredible Allison Steinberger. She's one of the great reporters over at Lindale TV. She confronted Pelosi yesterday. It was very interesting to see, because Pelosi became unhinged and literally almost spit out her dentures. Take a listen.
Congresswoman Pelosi, are you at all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day? Are you at all concerned about the new January 6th committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, Allison's face at the end of the video is amazing. She's joining us tomorrow on the show, by the way. Oh, she's so amazing. She's such a badass, that one. I mean, she literally has no fear in going out there and confronting these lying hacks
to their faces, and you have to appreciate that, of course. But folks, Nancy Pelosi wants you to think that she had no way. I like that. My favorite. Such a gotcha moment too. She's epic. But folks, Nancy Pelosi wants to rewrite history. She doesn't want you to know the truth. And the truth is that, she's full of it. She, in fact, was the one who mainly was not interested in having the National Guard there. In fact, thanks to the work of her own daughter, we have literally the audio video proving that she was doing her very best to not secure the building at all. In clip six, we're going to take you in the Wayback Machine to remember what actually happened that day. Take a listen.
We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with? They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for war.
Oh, man, that mask was supposed to be a muzzle, but it didn't stop Nancy Pelosi from saying the quiet part out loud. It was her responsibility. Her responsibility. See what happens when happy hour kicks off at 10 a.m. every day? Well, all the booze finally gets to your brain, and you forget that we have that on video, Pelosi. So, yes, she had no problem taking responsibility, but now, suddenly, it's not her fault. And if you dare blame her for any of this, she'll come after you. She'll scream at you. She'll yell at you and call you not a real journalist. Because according to Nancy Pelosi, the real journalists are the ones that don't ask the hard questions, the ones who coddle her and only go with what she wants to actually talk about. You know, it's good to see that Nancy Pelosi is being confronted by all the hard questions, because Nancy Pelosi has for a very long time gotten away with all of her criminal behavior. In my opinion, Nancy Pelosi belongs in a prison cell. Not just her, of course, many others, but of course she will not go there. You know, if we ever actually decide to start looking into Nancy Pelosi's stocks, that might be a good start. You know, she was my best financial advisor, her husband at least. For about a year, I actually sat there and followed everything her husband was doing because it's public record, so it's not illegal. And, you know, I had received a lot from it. And in fact, it's not just me. BlackRock, actually, in order to advise their clients, will actually go through Congress and see where they're putting their money. And Nancy Pelosi, anyone with the last name Pelosi, it seems like they have a really good track record these days when it comes to investing. So you got to give credit when credit's due. Folks, stop getting mad. If you can, invest your money in whatever Paul Pelosi's doing these days. He's got his finger on the pulse. Finger on the pulse. I want to turn to Jack Smith now, because Jack Smith, obviously, criminal, you and I have known this for a very long time. I don't even think he had any legitimacy besides, well, to be the prosecutor, the special prosecutor against Donald Trump. They used him because they knew he was going to be a political hack. And he was going to do the work of the deep state, obviously. And so Jack Smith was unleashed onto President Donald Trump. Well, obviously he failed. And he did his very best to try to take down the president, but he was not able to do just that. And so in clip seven, President Donald Trump was sounding off about how he truly believes that Jack Smith is a criminal. Take a listen.
Jim Jordan has asked Jack Smith to appear in front of the House Judiciary.
You mean deranged, Jack? He's a deranged individual, yeah.
He's asked him to...
Well, they should. I'm surprised it takes so long. Yeah. You know, we're talking about violent crime. What about the crime against a political opponent? That's what we have to talk about, too.
Jordan would like to understand the full extent to which the Biden-Harris Justice Department weaponized federal law enforcement. What do you think the committee will find out, Mr. Smith?
I think it was the worst weaponization of a political opponent in the history of the world, let alone this country. And I hope that everybody's, you know, they're involved in it. I'm not. I'm the one that had to suffer through it and ultimately win. But what they did was criminal. Deranged Jack Smith, in my opinion, is a criminal. And I noticed his interviewer was, I think that was Weissman. And I hope they're going to look into Weissman, too. Weissman's a bad guy.
Yeah, you got that right. They have to take it on the entire machine. Folks, if they don't clear the house, it will happen again and again. You see all the people standing behind President Trump. They are all probably fearful of what might happen if there's a Democrat that makes their way back into the White House, because they know what's happening. They're next. If you don't go after all of the people who decided to manipulate our legal system to go after their political opponent, guess what? It is going to continue to happen. You cannot fear holding these people accountable. You must act now. I can't tell if Pam Bondi is just afraid of going after these people, because we continue to hear that she's not offering the resources that she should be for those looking to indict people like James Comey, for example. That in fact, that U.S. attorney was really working on their own behalf because they had nobody else backing them up. If you're not ready to have these types of jobs, don't take them. I understand it's a very stressful position. We're not going to sit here and downplay any of that. But the reality is you accepted the role of attorney general. So you hear President Trump telling you directly to your face that these are the people you need to go after. And it's not retaliation for what they did to him. It's called the accountability tour. Welcome to the accountability tour for all of these hacks who decided that they were going to go after and try to stop the will of the American people from electing President Trump again. You belong in a prison cell. Now is the time to set the message. And if you don't want to do it, get out, resign. We're tired of sitting back and waiting for accountability to come. You see, that's the difference between the left and the right. Those on the left, as soon as they took over, started arresting their political opponents just because they didn't like what you had to say. Just because they didn't like the fact that you showed up to a legal rally. Hundreds were wrapped up very quickly in a matter of weeks. So don't tell me it's not possible. Don't tell me you have to go by all these rules and regulations first before you start making these arrests. You have the blueprints. I know Director Patel knows about that. I mean, he literally wrote a book about the government gangsters and what they've done over the last, 10 years. It's discouraging to see that we haven't seen bigger arrests being made. People like Adam Kingsinger, obviously a traitor to this country, in my opinion. He is someone who's an awful human being. And we're starting to learn about the different levels he went to in regards to going after anyone he disagreed with. Now, obviously, he had the name Rhino during his time on the J6 committee. We all know that he was a Rhino. But then those in the corporate media wanted to use his Republican candidacy, that the fact that he was a Republican at the time, to validate the J6 committee and all the crimes that they were committing. Oh, it's bipartisan. We got Kingsinger on the team. But when you start digging in and realizing what he was doing behind the scenes, well, it's very obvious. He was very partisan and very much against the President of the United States. Yesterday, we broke down a report for you that came from Just the News, and they landed some documents, as they always do, of course. And it's regarding the J6 committee, how they were able to somehow, some way, collect 30 million lines of phone data, mapping out connections between conservatives and the Trump White House. Now, it was the pretext towards the J6 investigation, of course. Democratic-led J6 committee used pretty much just a broad brush of congressional subpoenas to gather all of this information, metadata from thousands of Americans, without individual warrants. So they were able to grab all of this information and didn't need a warrant. Again, we don't even know specifically all the people who were wrapped up into all of this because it was so massive. An FBI document confirms that Kingsinger offered the data to the FBI, though it's unclear if the FBI actually accepted it. And according to many people, it looks like he offered it. And again, I haven't seen the documents myself, so I'm just going based off of other reports. It looks like he offered this right before the 2024 election. That's the Republican that was on the J6 committee. And then he ended his political career in many ways, of course, more than one. But he was crying. Oh, it was the worst day ever. Freaking loser. Look at all these criminals. Cheney, another criminal. These people are awful human beings. Awful human beings. They don't care about the lives they ruined. Just thought it was okay to do what they did. And so far, they've gone away with it. And again, time and time again, we're seeing all of the levels that these people went to secretly gather information regarding their political opposition. Chuck Grassley is the only senator who's actually doing something. And the guy's like, what, north of 80 years old? He's literally the one that I'm strongly relying on to get to the bottom of this because everyone else is too afraid, too lazy, and unpatriotic to get to the bottom of what actually took place here. I don't know of any other U.S. senators who are actually digging like he is. He has done some incredible work with Arctic Frost. His team, his office needs to be celebrated because what they've uncovered is massive. Massive. Like specifically how the FBI was being utilized to go after the less political opponents. I mean, he maps it all out for you. In email after email. They just continue to go after him. I mean, the email literally lists Donald J. Trump, who they're targeting, John Eastman, Giuliani. I mean, there's so many people who are being named in all of this, and they didn't even care. They did this through FBI emails. Again, the only person fighting for this, for the truth, Chuck Grassley. That's it. If we lose Chuck Grassley, we're really out of this one. He's the only one that fights for the whistleblowers. He's the only one that goes out there and confronts these demons that we have in our country. And he's fearless. How is it that we only have one fighter in the Senate right now? Only one person doing the digging. His entire office is working aggressively hard to get to the bottom of all of this. You know, when there were rumors that he was intending on possibly retiring, my heart sunk because I knew that we wouldn't get anywhere with any of this. Because we have a conglomerate of cowards in Washington, D.C. that are too afraid to ask tough questions, too afraid to piss off the deep state operatives. And so what do? Well, they just comply. They might give you a really cute soundbite on Fox News, but that's it. That's it. They've proven time and time again to be absolutely useless. And it's infuriating. It's not just that, though, folks. It's not just that. It's the fact that we still have not seen major arrests being made. They're throwing you the bare minimum and then hoping you latch on. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, I got some girl who came after me saying I was a psyop because I'm sitting here telling you that all of the charges that you've seen thus far are the bare minimum. You don't have to be a great legal mind to understand what that actually means. If you've been following what's been going on throughout this country, you see that the biggest arrests that should have been made haven't been made. And why is that? Well, great question. Again, the people who are currently being indicted haven't been arrested. You don't have a mugshot yet. They were so quick. I've actually never, as somebody who's followed crime throughout New York City, obviously other places, but they tend to give you the mugshots quickly. We saw in Fulton County how quickly they turned over that mugshot of President Trump. I think it was in less than 24 hours. We haven't gotten a single mugshot. Why? See, if the roles were reversed, they would have given you the mugshot. They would have fought for that mugshot. Now, again, I've asked my attorney friends, you know, specifically, we'll go with James Comey for an example, and they say normally with those charges, you don't get the perp walk, you don't get the mugshot, you don't get the actual arrest, you just get their appearance in court. But why is that? And also, that just highlights the fact these charges are the bare minimum. Obviously, if you've been digging into all of this, you know that there's harsher charges that they could have slapped them with. Now, again, they could be working on it, so I'm not going to go and attack the one person who actually is out there doing these indictments, landing these indictments. But, folks, we're not going to sit here and celebrate, like, thank you. Thank you for throwing us this one bone. And this was the problem within the first administration, right? Because so many people, and again, I voted for Trump. Like, what are we talking about here? So many people sat there and just wanted to just clap their hands for everything that came out of the White House. This is great. This is great. And then as we get towards the end of his first term, when you realize of all the mess, all the horrible people that were on board that you didn't want to criticize at first, it all imploded. Then they all went after him. So we're not going to do the clapping of our hands for everything that comes out of the White House. I will be more than happy to celebrate and to congratulate and to report on the good that's coming out from this White House. But we're not going to sit here and look the other way on other things. We want more. We want more than just James Comey, Tish James, John Bolton, But I'm a little optimistic when it comes to all of this, though. I gotta say, Mike Davis was on Fox News on Sunday, and Mike Davis, a friend, a great patriot. If Mike Davis could be AG, the entire deep state would have been thrown away in Guantanamo Bay. Obviously, they know that, and the rhinos would never confirm him, but in my dream scenario, it would be Mike Davis running the DOJ right now. Because he gets it. But Davis was on with Maria Bartiromo, my former boss, this Sunday, and she gave me a lot of hope. He thinks that the indictments are going to go all the way to the top, which is great. But you got to kind of land them now. Because if you keep dragging them on, let's say there's not a Republican that makes their way back into the White House in 2028, guess what happens? Nothing happens. You don't get that trial. They'll just keep dragging on and kicking the can down the road. And it's crazy because they have an arsenal of finances on the left. That's, again, one of the most massive differences we talked about on this show. In New York, for example, Democrats made sure to allocate at least $10 million for Tish James for whatever pending charges she had coming her way, because they obviously knew that Tish James was guilty of some type of crime. That's what one has to assume when you sit there and you make sure to squeeze that into the budget. So now there's Trump-hating attorneys that are going to be sucking dry all of New York taxpayers' $10 million. I'm sure they're all going to be legit, though. I'm sure they're going to keep reasonably building taxpayers. No, they're not. There's no accountability in New York. They control everything. I'm sure the billing is going to be insane. They're going to pay their own. This is what always happens. Who needs a $10 million legal arsenal? You didn't have that if you were charged for J6. You were lucky if you got a give, send, go quarter of $1 million. You were one of the very few to get that. But Tish James, for a private matter, is now going to have access to New York taxpayer money to pay her legal fees. Isn't that something? I remember when President Trump was going through the lawfare and some were suggesting that he might be using his campaign money to pay those legal fees and how that would be very, very wrong. Crickets, though, now. Now that New York taxpayer funds are being held hostage, you don't hear much. You don't hear any pushback, actually. I have yet to hear from one person to push back on that front. And when I ask attorneys, what can be done to save New Yorkers, save their money? I'm told not much. So New Yorkers are stuck with just having to shut up and deal with this. And I wonder, right, James Comey obviously now facing the charge that he's facing. He's got a lot of family members who are attorneys. So I'm sure they're going to be working at no cost for him, which is a luxury that so many have never had in their lives. You know, Jeff Clark is another one who, when he was fighting off the lawfare, still is to this day, the legal bills are just insane. And he's trying to fundraise so he doesn't have to wipe out what he's worked his butt off for his entire life. But this is what's going on in this country. It is, in fact, a two-tier system. Anyone that denies that is an absolute idiot. Or they're just lying to you and hoping you buy into it, and they're hoping that you're actually the idiot. But the worst part about it is how Democrats protect their own. And we still haven't learned that lesson. We still have it. Your legal fees, if you are arrested, they get paid by you. No taxpayers, no rich billionaires. You. They've tried for a very long time just wiping clean people's finances in this country. That was one of the elements of lawfare. You know, I've spoken to attorneys when we're going through Arctic Frost and we're going through the subpoenas that were issued where they were getting access to people like Giuliani, people like John Eastman's finances. And I'm like, why are they looking at their finances? Well, number one, they're looking to see if they took in any suspicious money that they could try to flag for criminality. And then number two, they are trying their very best to see, can you fight the lawfare? What does your money look like? How dare the government do that to you? Just get your bank records to see if you could afford to put up the fight. This is why so many people, when they are prosecuted, especially J6ers, they piled up the charges on you because they knew you were going to take a crappy plea agreement just to bow out of it because you didn't have the finances to keep fighting. Let's say Tish James and other Democrats truly believe that she needs $10 million to fight off the legal challenges she's getting thrown her way right now. How do average Americans pay for their legal defense? They can't. That's why they cook up these charges. They hit you with the hardest charge possible because they know that you were going to have to bow down and accept the plea. This happens all the time. I remember when Pam Bondi took over at the DOJ, she said she was going to send out a memo, and I believe she did, telling prosecutors not to overcharge people because she doesn't want them taking these bad plea agreements. It's nice. Because obviously she understands why that is. She understands that it's a tactic to wipe people clean financially. Even Alex Rosen, remember when Alex Rosen, I covered the story, Alex Rosen was going after a predator in Missouri, and Alex Rosen was charged with criminal trespassing, I believe it was. There was another charge he was slapped with. And they hit him with a felony because he was going after an alleged predator in a fast food joint. So because they were upset that he was confronting this predator who was working at a fast food chain, they hit him with a felony charge. Why? Because they wanted him to plead to a crappy plea agreement. Because how do you fund a felony case for yourself? You can't. The guy works off of donations. They know that. But because he embarrassed the prosecutor's office for not criminally charging appropriately the predator that he was gunning for and going after, this person allegedly is a repeat offender, of course. Even in audio recordings that I listen to, admitting to going after an underage child. But they didn't like Alex Rose, and they wanted to wipe him clean. They didn't want him to fight, and so they hit him with a felony. Alex actually did take a plea agreement. He didn't want the felony. This is what's going on throughout our own country. If you are, and he gave us this great mugshot too. And by the way, I called Alex in prison, in jail, and they tried using our discussion against him. And I warned him before, obviously, that I was recording. And asked him if that was okay with him. And he said, yeah, because they're recording on the other end as well. But they actually cited my interview with Alex in court filings. This guy's a patriot. They really tried their best to charge him with a felony for going after an alleged sex predator who's preying on children. That's where we are in this country right now. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It is the relaunch of Alex Jones Super Sale Fundraiser. The Supreme Court is allowing the deep state to shut down InfoWars, and we don't know when that will be. So we've decided to have this incredible sale going on right now. A free $10 is heading your way when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. He also has 25% off store-wide as well. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. This is for a very limited time. We don't know when this is going to end. So you got to go head on over to the store right now and buy up all these products. Because again, it could stop at any moment. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com to help fund our next operation. We'll be right back.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching InfoWars.com in 1997, 28 years of the InfoWar. So that is the Veterans of the InfoWar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition InfoWars, Veterans of the InfoWars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if InfoWars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term InfoWar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
American Journal. We'll kick it off the second hour of the program in just a few moments, and I'm excited that you are all here. All right, a lot going on in the world, of course, and we got a lot to discuss, and I'm excited that we're here. First hour of the show, a lot going on in regards to the lawfare. And it's never ending. It's never ending. But we're going to dig into Ghislaine Maxwell a little bit in regards to the prison that she's currently being housed in. Also, talk about Bank of America. That will happen in just a few moments. You're going to want to see that. But also, we're also going to highlight the stupidity of AOC and Bernie Sanders. It's laughable. So I hope it gives you a good chuckle. But in the second hour of the program, I'm going to be highlighting some of their key moments during their CNN town hall. Now, obviously, folks, it is a communist takeover. Don't let anyone lie to you about that one. They are trying their very best to target young people and to turn them all into a bunch of little commies. But it's not going to happen. And they know it's not going to happen. And in fact, there's a laughable soundbite of AOC trying to rationalize why young men are not siding with their commie movement. In fact, they are more conservative young men coming up, and it's actually quite impressive, the numbers. So we'll be digging into that too, because AOC not very happy in regards to that. Also, Bill Maher surprised me. He surprised me. He is one of the very few people willing to call out the genocide going on in Nigeria right now. Christians are being slaughtered by Islamic terrorists, and one would think that those in the mainstream are afraid to talk about it because they don't like to call out Islamic terrorists, but Bill Maher actually did. I've got that clip for you because it was quite impressive to sit back and listen to. Also, yesterday I told you all that President Trump was holding a meeting at the White House. We obviously heard from the meeting. It's all about crime in this country. He focused very much on that. But he's also focused on San Francisco, and we're going to be talking about that in the second hour. Plus, big balls. That's a heck of a segue. Two of his suspects, we talked about it broke yesterday, have been given plea agreements where they won't be facing jail time. Because obviously the D.C. courts, the D.C. justice system has more empathy for children who are committing crimes, teenagers, right? They always go, oh, they're kids, you know, whatever. I mean, they're 15 years old. They're going around violently beating up innocent people. But the liberals in D.C. still think they're just innocent. Nothing to see here. We'll be talking about that, too, because Big Balls is not happy. And even President Trump isn't happy with what happened to him, of course. Also, we're going to be talking about crime throughout the country because there's another absurd judge who decided to just let some man who's been accused twice of trying to rape women in Florida cut him loose on extremely low bail. I was watching the news package earlier today and my jaw just hit the ground because this is Florida. So for everyone who thinks this only happens in liberal areas, where Republicans have apparently the stronghold in the state government, it's happening there. It's happening there, so we'll talk about that, too. Also, I saw a story that was in Axios today about Senator Fetterman, and they're gunning for him. They're gunning for him in Pennsylvania, and they are going to challenge his seat. And the reason why they're doing that is because they don't like the fact that, and I don't even understand how John Fetterman has become the voice of reason on the left, but that's how bad things have actually gotten. And so when you sit back and you listen to Fetterman talk, you're just mind blown because you don't understand how this man, who we believed was not well, has somehow risen to the ranks of common sense amongst those who lack common sense within his own party. And because of it, they don't like him. They're gunning for him. They want to primary him in the state of Pennsylvania. I don't think they understand, too, the political ramifications for going after Fetterman right now, especially in Pennsylvania. You know, he flipped it, obviously. And this was back, I believe, in 2022. And so that was pretty monumental for him. And he has surprisingly become one of my favorite people, actually, to hear from. So we'll play a couple of sound bites for you because he's actually siding with the voice of reason these days. And he's starting to make sense. Folks, I want to give you an update, too, right now over at the AlexJonesStore.com. It's a free $10 that you guys could get when you start heading over there and shop. It is obviously a very important sale because it's going towards our next operations when you do make a purchase. But right now, we're giving you a free $10, no minimum to spend. So head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. Also, make sure you download the app, the AlexJonesApp.com. Stay in touch with us in case they lock that front door. We're going to be on the app, and so that's the best way for you guys to stay in touch with all of us. It's more underway in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I am not Harrison Smith in a dress. I am Brianna Morello. Thank you for joining us. We always get a good laugh at that, of course. But welcome back to the show. We're excited to be kicking off the second hour of the program because a lot's happening. A lot is happening, and it's all in regards to what I want to focus on now, Ghislaine Maxwell. It's interesting because Ghislaine Maxwell gets kind of a luxury treatment these days. I know a lot of people were very confused. I know President Trump hasn't quite ruled out potentially getting pardoned. But the reality of it is Ghislaine Maxwell is obviously someone who we are hyper-focused on these days because we wanted to know who are the sexual predators going out there and targeting young girls. So obviously the one who would probably have all that information, one would think, is Ghislaine Maxwell. And so apparently she's getting favorable treatment right now in federal prison. She's been shifted over from Florida prison. Now she's based in Texas. And according to reports, she's given a lot of really just special treatment. A lot of her fellow inmates are resenting her because they do believe that she is getting all these cushy deals. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, again, where she's at right now, it's a minimum security facility with about 622 inmates. And she's also there with a couple of other high-profile individuals. Now, Maxwell arrived after a meeting with federal prosecutors, to remind you, over the summer. And just recently, the Supreme Court did, in fact, deny her appeal. They don't want to hear her appeal. She was trying to appeal to the Supreme Court to say that she was given immunity when Jeffrey Epstein took a plea agreement. And that although it was supposed to expand over to all of her fellow alleged pedophiles, I guess I have to say alleged because none of them have been convicted. She thought that she would get wrapped up in that too, but did not. The Supreme Court did not even want to hear her argument. Folks, we're keeping an eye because Speaker Johnson is right now speaking about the government shutdown. Fox News just pushed that out, so we will let you know if anything breaks from that. But we're digging in. We're trying to follow a bunch of live things that are going on all around the country right now. Sadly, the federal government are not doing their job. Not doing their job at all. Well, let's switch up a little bit to the banks in regards to Jeffrey Epstein, because I think this is interesting that it never really gets covered. There's been several banks that have settled lawsuits by the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, and they're being accused, and they were accused of helping. And I don't believe they even admitted guilt when they dished out those penalties, those settlements. But there's a lot going on right now in regards to that. Let's see this. Okay, so right now we've got this Bank of America case going on right now. This is the lawsuit that was recently presented forward. And of course, what they're alleging, which was actually one, I believe it was JP Morgan that was also forced to settle their lawsuit. A woman who says Jeffrey Epstein abused her at least 100 times is suing Bank of America over the allegations that the convicted pedophile. Oh, well, let's see. We've got Speaker Mike Johnson up right now. Let's take a listen to what he's saying about the government shutdowns.
They don't know what they want to end the shutdown. They couldn't provide a single viable solution for the mess that they themselves have gleefully created. And by the way, those are the real leaders of the Democrat Party. We all know it. AOC and Bernie. Good luck with that. And amid all that, Chuck Schumer is actually bragging that every day gets better for his party. As you know, that is his words, not ours. All this would be laughable if it didn't come at the cost of American families, and it really is deadly serious. If it were up to Republicans alone, we would not be in this mess. We'd be up here negotiating and debating openly and transparently on the issues impacting Americans' lives. But as I've said repeatedly, Democrats slammed the brakes on legislative business when they decided to shut down the government for their partisan political purposes. The progress we made on appropriations and the conversations that were underway on the COVID-era Obamacare subsidies and all those issues, all that sits at a standstill until Democrats reopen the government. As soon as five Senate Democrats come to their senses and break ranks and turn the lights back on, House Republicans are anxious to get back to legislative session and to pick up our unfinished business. We have a lot yet to do. Until then, I'll continue to share the facts from this podium every morning to try to get this message directly to the American people. Republicans will continue serving on the job in our communities on behalf of the American people that we represent. I'm going to conclude this morning by saying this again. There's an incredible contrast right now between the two parties that could not be more clear. As we say here every day, this is not your grandfather's Democratic Party. It truly has become the far left, Marxist left, that are running that whole operation. And it has real effects on real people. And I just want you to, I'll highlight again the split screen of what we're seeing. In America right now, there are two diametrically opposed visions for the country. And you should look at the actions of elected officials and not their words. And what are the actions? President Trump and Republicans are delivering for the American people. We have cut their taxes. We are removing red tape and regulations to get the economy humming again. We have ended the border crisis, virtually zero crossings in the last 4 months under President Trump. We are ending the crime crisis around America, taking heroic measures to make sure that happens. We're cutting fraud, waste, and abuse out of government and making government more efficient and effective for the people. And right now, President Trump is resolving international conflicts, restoring peace through strength around the globe. That's just a small sampling of what's been done by Republicans in the last 9 months. And what have Democrats done the last 9 months? On the split screen, look at the other side. They've shut down the government. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Put all the gimmicks and the talking points aside and look at the indisputable facts and evidence of what is happening right here. There could not be a stronger contrast between the two parties. And I don't know how more simply we can say that.
All right, I want to step in on this.
With all that, I'm really happy to introduce.
Talk right now, it looks like, about the government shutdown and offering the same talking points that we've heard before. So I don't want to keep hovering over that. But obviously, the government shutdown is something that doesn't look like it's going to be settled anytime soon, because it looks like Democrats are unwilling to come to the table to negotiate. And as I've spoken to Speaker Johnson before in the past, he's telling us that he doesn't see this ending anytime soon or prior to at least a No Kings rally, because Democrats are afraid of their far left radical terrorists going after them for complying. So again, we'll continue to follow that as it develops, of course. But let's head back over to that Epstein story, because that's a very important one, and I don't want that to fall off the radar. All right, so yesterday there was a class action lawsuit filed in Manhattan in federal court on behalf of Jane Doe and other alleged Epstein survivors. Now, they're claiming that Bank of America was the second biggest, which is obviously the second biggest bank in the United States, allowed and kind of helped Jeffrey Epstein do what he was doing. Again, these are allegations that have been made against other banks as well. But this one just filed recently. Now, they detail in their report that from 2011 to 2029, Epstein sexually abused Jane Doe on at least 100 occasions, including but not limited to forcibly touching her, forcibly raping her, and forcibly having her engage in sexual acts with other women. That's what the lawsuit states in court filings that were just filed yesterday. The document also cites previous reports regarding the allegations against Epstein, of course, also saying that Epstein would sexually abuse 3 to 4 young women per day. The lawsuit says it was his full-time job to abuse children. Spokesperson for Bank of America has not yet returned comment on all of this. This lawsuit being filed yesterday, like I said, in federal court. They're looking for an unspecific amount of financial damages. The new case added to the growing legal fallout for the Epstein and banking relationships. We've seen the argument time and time again that they're saying that these banks, instead of seeing what they should have seen, as and flagging as very strange financial activities by Epstein. They instead look the other way on a lot of this. The site of the lawsuit is going to be citing the Federal Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which is the main U.S. law targeting sex trafficking and enables victims to sue not only their traffickers, but anyone who knowingly benefits from a sex trafficking venture. Which I think is a great thing. I think it's a great thing. But sadly, I mean, I haven't exactly seen a lot of what's been going on, only because, you know, in regards to all of this, I know a lot of people believe that this goes mainly to the banks, that with the bank settlements have gone straight to the lawyers, I should say. A lot of these victims aren't getting the finances that they do deserve. These victims deserve every dollar, though. It's absurd what happened. It is absolutely absurd. And so far, there's been massive, massive settlements. JP Morgan, like I cited at the beginning, actually dished out $290 million to victims. And that was recently. That was back in 2023. These victims are worth every dollar that they get. It's infuriating that this happened in this country. It's infuriating that we don't do enough to stick up to pedophilia and to lock these people up. President Trump actually ran on the campaign promise that those who are caught trafficking victims in our country would potentially get the death penalty. I would love to see that conversation get renewed and brought back to the surface. Let's switch things up. Let's get a little laugh in. Why not? Let's get a laugh in at the expense of AOC, Bernie Sanders, and CNN. This is what we like to see. In clip 8, AOC gets a little upset, kind of upset. Then, you know, you see Bernie Sanders step in and just ask a simple question as to, because we all know she has political aspirations. But when she's asked about specifically challenging Chuck Schumer, take a listen.
But are you saying that Senator Schumer should not be worried about a primary challenge from you?
I mean, all right. No.
Let me jump in on this one.
This is what we're talking about.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
This is what we're talking about.
You have a country that is falling apart. We had a housing crisis, a healthcare crisis, an education crisis, massive income and wealth inequality, a corrupt campaign finance system, and the media says, oh, you're going to run, what are you going to run for? Nobody cares. So run more
Nobody cares.
It's the House Speaker and President Trump and the Vice President saying it.
Right.
Pardon?
Well, of course, they're saying it to deflect attention away from the real issue.
Exactly.
And here, let me tell you what the real issue is. Let's see if CNN talks about it. We're living in the richest country in the history of the world, right? All right, you tell me why we're the only nation not to guarantee health care to all people, the only nation not to guarantee paid family and medical leave, why we have a $7.25 an hour minimum wage, why we have 800,000 people sleeping out on the street, why we have a president who denies the reality of climate change, why we have oligarchs on top who have more and more power every day. Let's talk about that issue, mm-hmm. not her own mm-hmm. political future. She'll decide that.
I think Bernie Sanders just mansplained us. Didn't let AOC speak for herself, instead had to step in and do all the explaining. Obviously, AOC has political aspirations. She's hoping New Yorkers are dumb enough to elect her to the Senate. Give her some more power. The rise of communism in this country is extremely alarming. What's even worse, the level of stupidity. You know, during that CNN town hall, AOC even came up with this insane, insane moment where she said, the air should be drinkable. It's sad because I actually defended her. So she was a little bit older than me when she first started. And I was just like, wow, there's a woman in her mid to late 20s running for Congress. And she was elected. I was like, this is great. Maybe she'll actually represent young people. Yeah, I'm sorry. That fell flat. I would like to think that most young people aren't this stupid. And as a former bartender myself, I'd like to think that the conversations that I've had with my fellow bartenders were a little bit more empowering in regards to what this generation truly has to offer. But folks, there's a reason why she's teaming up with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has been at it for quite some time now, scamming the American people into thinking that his beliefs are both valid and they're going to make a better future for the rest of the country. They're not. That's why you saw him pushing the green scam. It's interesting because Bernie Sanders was confronted by an individual who actually asked a fair question about the government shutdown and was pinning it all on Chuck Schumer. And in clip 9, Bernie Sanders tried to do the master deflection in all of this. Take a listen.
How do you think this shutdown reflects on Chuck Schumer's leadership?
Well, I think it reflects more on Mike Johnson's leadership and President Trump's leadership. This is a leadership which said it's okay to give a well, how do you feel? You tell me. Think it's a good idea to give $1 trillion in tax breaks to the richest people in the country and then make massive cuts to health care for working class people?
I think Chuck Schumer has voted for continuing resolutions 13 times in the last 4 years, and he has the opportunity to vote for one again, but he's refusing to come to the table.
Well, I think, look.
Oh, got him. Didn't know what to say there. See, they don't like the facts. Chuck Schumer has been around for decades, like before I was even born. And yet he's still up there pretending like there's actually some value in it. Nobody even asked Chuck Schumer, what the heck are you fighting for here? Like, what's your line of what you're willing to negotiate on? He has no idea. Healthcare for everyone. It's a dream. It's a dream. Not a reality. We don't owe illegal aliens anything. We don't. You don't even belong in this country. See, AOC is one of the many also who's trying to deflect on this issue because they know that level-headed Americans really do not support providing non-U.S. citizens with health care. And so although, and you're going to hear this in clip 10, although she truly believes in her political views that all people should get health care, she has to deflect because she knows she's going to be running for Chuck Schumer's seat, and she has to sound a little bit moderate. Take a listen at how she deflects and how she says, well, I support it for everyone, but we have to go based on what's currently on the books. Take a listen.
But can I ask you on this to follow up? Because you said that it is federal law that people, undocumented immigrants, can't get Medicare, Medicaid, the Obamacare subsidies. Do you believe that should be the law, though? Or do you think undocumented immigrants should have access to federally funded health care?
I believe personally that health care is a human right. I believe that every person should be able to go to the doctor. But I believe that right now, federal law is the federal law. And that absolutely, you know, that U.S. citizens and people who pay into our programs deserve to be covered by these programs. And I mean, once again, I do believe that the federal laws that we have on the books are appropriate,
but
are the right ones to do.
Do you believe that that should be changed?
Pardon?
If you could choose, do you believe that the federal law should be changed?
I don't. I believe in a single payer healthcare system where if you go in and you need a doctor, you can get the medical attention that you need.
I agree with AOC. I believe that every person should have access to a doctor in their own country at their own cost, not the cost of the American people. You see, they're very particular with their wording on all of this. It's a communist takeover. They want people to rely on the government. So they need people to rely on the government. And so those who have illegally crossed into our country are those who are more in need of our federal government. And so they'd love for U.S. taxpayers to pick up the burden to fund their next voter base. And so that's why you see AOC dancing around the words. We have to follow what's currently on the books. Everyone should have access to health care, but in their own damn country. Not on the American people's dime. And that's a very simple thing to understand. And they know. They know that their views are very unpopular. That's why they're performing this like word jiu-jitsu, trying to figure out ways to swing it over with the American people so they don't understand what's actually happening here. Juan in El Salvador should be able to come to our country and get free health care. That's what AOC truly believes. The American people, though, we're not for it. That is the reason why President Trump was reelected. They've had enough of sitting back and watching all of this take place. What you're paying right now for your health care is probably insane. Probably insane. What your employer is also pitching in for is probably insane. And the issue itself is deep-rooted, obviously, with these hospitals who are overcharging to make up for these illegals who have flooded their hospitals. Also, obviously, corruption. Also, obviously, I would say theft. But here we are, this country right now, trying to figure out how do we fix the healthcare system. And Democrats are like, well, fix the healthcare system by putting more people who don't belong in this country on our healthcare system. and at your expense. Pony up the money. That's not the way anymore. Americans do not fear being called a name because little AOC is fearful. She's fearful that she will not have a voting base if we don't keep these illegals in this country. And it's not just that. Also, AOC is now going after why Republicans... Oh, I missed this theatrical photo shoot. Why Republicans are somehow getting the support of young males in this country. Now, in clip 11, she's trying to wrap her mind around why that is. Take a listen.
And they are able to radicalize and target and exploit a generation of young boys, in particular, away from healthy masculinity and into an insecure masculinity that requires the domination of others who are poorer, browner, darker, or a different gender than them. And that is why they are resonating online, because they are appealing to the most basest and worst parts of human nature to divide.
I want to know what her definition of healthy masculinity is. Is it her beta boyfriend? The one who looks like he can't even lift the bar at the gym? Is that what you think healthy masculinity is? And being dominating, trying to dominate brown people? Again, the people that lecture you and always bring up the race card, it's always fascinating, right? Because it's AOC, obviously she's dating a ginger. Then you also have Ilhan Omar, married a white guy, ditched her brother for the white guy, of course. And then the list goes on. If you start looking at what they're actually doing behind in their personal life, you start to realize there's a pattern here. Those that are race baiting and telling you that white men are the evil ones and they just want to dominate brown people, well, their personal life decisions don't really add up. Unless, of course, AOC is looking to be dominated. Beta boy is not the one to do that, I'm sure, though. These are the people who are trying... I love this meme. Gives me a good chuckle. It's a rough life for her. It's a very rough life for her. Any conservative men out there maybe looking to take AOC on a date? Maybe you could change her political views if you just take her out to dinner. Take one for the team. Take AOC out to dinner. Show her what a real man is like. Something tells me she's actually never been on a date with a real man. Her beta male is all she has. I'm just so done with hearing these women lecture the rest of us about how we should be living our lives. And that's what your personal life looks like. Folks, we've got more to unpack on the American Journal. I'm excited that you're all here, of course. Head on over to the Alex Jones store right now, because for a very limited time, we're giving you a free $10 when you head on over to the shop and make a purchase. There's no minimum required over at the alexjonesstore.com. Again, we don't know how long we'll have over here at InfoWars. And when you go, you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. You're helping support our next operation. So we greatly appreciate you for doing just that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, make sure you download the app. We're number one on the charts, of course, over at the Apple Store. So head on over to the App Store right now. Download the Alex Jones app as well. AlexJonesApp.com for those of you looking for the simple route to it. We'll be right back.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog,
where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Happy Thursday, everyone. We're excited that you're all with us. Of course, we're wrapping up the second hour right now, and we're excited for you to be here. We're also, in the third hour, going to be joined by Douglas Mackey as well as Mark Mitchell. Because there's a lot to dive into with them. And there was a lot to dive into yesterday. I know a lot of people were angry because it was a New York Times article. But there was a New York Times report that came out. And I think we got to share it, even though, you know, they're not always the best. But I think it's really interesting because this one has to do with Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. Now, Maduro, obviously a very corrupt leader, someone who the United States has been looking to toss out of his position for a very, very long time now. In fact, offering a $50 million bounty for his head for anyone who leads to his arrest. He is obviously someone who we want out of that position. But there's something very interesting that happened. The New York Times is pretty much saying that President Trump has signaled to the CIA that they could lead a coup. It kind of sounded like, okay, and again, President Trump is responding to the report, and I'm going to play that for you in a second. But interesting enough, that's what the New York Times was posting about. And, you know, obviously the CIA has a habit of doing all of this. Now, this would be very, very interesting. If true, and President Trump has actually, you know, been going after the drug traffickers in Venezuela by blowing them up as they're making their way into international waters so far, killing at least 27 people by shooting up their boats, of course, something that we are very welcoming of these days, given the fact that the drug traffickers have declared war on the American people. Now we're just starting to fight back. So that's one element to all of this. But President Trump has now spoken just recently in clip 20 about this. Let's take a listen.
Curious, why did you authorize the CIA to go into Venezuela? And is there more information you can share about these strikes on the alleged?
Well, I can't do that, but I authorized for two reasons, really. Number one, they have emptied their prisons into the United States of America. They came in through the, they came in through the border. They came in because we had an open border policy. And as soon as I heard that, I said, a lot of these countries, they're not the only country, but they're the worst abuser. And they've entered there. They've allowed thousands and thousands of prisoners, mental institution, people from mental institutions, insane asylums, emptied out into the United States. We're bringing them back. But that's a really bad, and they did it at a level that probably not many, many countries have done it, but not like Venezuela. They were down and dirty. And the other thing of drugs, we have a lot of drugs coming in from Venezuela, and a lot of the Venezuelan drugs come in through the sea. So you get to see that, but we're going to stop them by land also.
Does the CIA have authority to take out Maduro?
Oh, I don't want to answer a question like that. That's a ridiculous question for me to be given. Not really a ridiculous question, but wouldn't it be a ridiculous question for me to answer? But I think Venezuela is feeling heat, but I think a lot of other countries are feeling heat, too. We're not going to let this country, our country, be ruined because other people want to drop, as you say, their worst. They have given us their worst. They've loaded up our country with prisoners, with mentally ill people that are seriously ill, criminally ill. And we're not going to take it. And so, I mean, it's just one of those things. And I can tell you, we've taken care of the sea. There's nobody. And we're watching. We're watching. And if we see it, we'll save it.
Now, I know President Trump's not going to answer a question like that, but I actually don't think it's a ridiculous question to answer or to ask when he's answering all the other questions regarding Venezuela. So kudos to the reporter just blatantly asking that, because given the CIA's history, why not throw that question at the president? I don't think it's ridiculous. I think it's a fair question to ask, especially given the New York Times reporting, and he's not denying it. So again, I think it's fair. I think it's fair. Interesting to see how the president is reacting to all of this, though. U.S., I guess we'll say the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, has referred to Maduro as a lord of death and war. And so it's interesting to hear all of this. Again, I mean, we don't want the CIA obviously doing regime changes like this. So it's interesting to hear. We'll keep following the story as it develops, of course. This is a big story that is worthy of your attention, so we'll continue to follow it. I want to also dig into another story that was also something very jarring. Bill Maher is on the side of common sense, which is refreshing to see sometimes. Bill Maher coming out and calling out the genocide that's going on right now in Nigeria. I've been talking about this for years. I know Lara Logan is the very first person who I saw talking about this. But obviously, right now in Nigeria, there is a genocide of Christians who are being slaughtered by Islamic terrorists. And not many want to actually talk about it or address it. In fact, it's been going on for years now, and very few will call it out. But Bill Maher is fearless, and he did just that in clip 12. Take a listen.
If you don't know what's going on in Nigeria, mm-hmm. your media sources suck. You are in a bubble. And again, I'm not a Christian, but they are systematically yep. killing the Christians in Nigeria. They've killed over 100,000 since 2009. They've burned 18,000 churches. This is so much more. These are their Islamists, Boko mm-hmm. Haram. This is so much more of a genocide attempt yeah. than what is going on in Gaza. They are literally attempting to wipe out the Christian population of an entire country. Where are the kids protesting this?
Yeah. Thank you. No one will talk about it, so thank you.
Absolutely.
It's Africa. That's why no one's talking about it, and they should be. You can't read about it on mainstream media. It's sad, so thank you for bringing it up.
Well, because the Jews aren't involved. That's why. It's the Christians and the Muslims. Who cares?
Well, that is the raw truth, and folks don't want to accept it. The reality of it is this has been going on for far too long. So many in Nigeria, Christians, have been slaughtered while just simply praying in their churches. And for some reason, the world looks the other way because they do not want to address the fact that we have an Islam problem throughout this world. And the fact of the matter is that those who claim to be peaceful and practice this religion don't want to call it out either. And so what do you have here? Well, you have the genocide of Christians in Nigeria. They were literally trying to wipe them out, killing the men, obviously, then raping the women. And it's absurd that we just sit here and we just are too fearful to address what's actually happening here. Remember when Barack Obama with his wife decided to do this whole, like, bring home our girls campaign? This has been going on for far too long and nothing has been actually done. In fact, according to Lara Logan's reporting, the Obamas knew exactly where those girls who were kidnapped by the Islamic terrorists were being held and refused to go and try to at least help them. I think we're still missing a couple hundred of those girls who were kidnapped while attending school. So before you sit here and just look the other way on this issue, again, the U.S. needs to actually intervene. There are other ways to go out there and to handle this issue, create global pressure, force other countries to intervene. But the Obamas just decided to look the other way. But it gives you a cute little hashtag. So if you're Michelle Obama, why not take a couple of pictures and post it online to pretend like you are a woman of empathy? Now, sadly, a lot of those young girls were used as suicide bombers, so they're no longer with us. They were also sexually abused by the Islamic terrorists as well. And we still haven't heard. As far as I could tell, there was a couple of hundred that were still missing. But at least Michelle Obama got a cute little hashtag from it. Lara Logan did an incredible piece, but if you haven't seen it, I'd highly recommend it. I believe it was on Fox Nation. I hope it's still there. I know that there's a little bit of a rough history there, but I do hope that they still have that streaming because that was the moment when I realized what was actually happening. And it was heartbreaking because I know Lara was talking to a Nigerian man who ultimately said that I probably won't even make it. I think it was to his like 25th birthday. And I tried connecting and reaching out to him. I don't even know if that man's alive because I wanted to have him on my show. So it's a really difficult situation that very few are willing to call out because, again, nobody wants to tick off the Islamic terrorists, not even those who claim to be the peaceful practitioners of the religion. What does that tell you? Let's shift gears over back to the United States because President Donald Trump yesterday held a press conference and it was all about crime. Obviously, that's something that a lot of Americans are thinking about these days. Big major cities are absolutely destroyed here in Austin. I mean, it's devastating. Devastating. Everyone keeps telling me how beautiful the city once was before the Soros prosecutor took over. Now homelessness is just rampant. And I'm from New York, so I'm used to seeing stuff like this, but I'm not used to seeing the level of homelessness. I've actually never seen this before, right? We have women who are living on the streets who shouldn't be living on the streets. They're Americans. We all know what happens when you let women just live on the streets. It's actually shameful and absolutely disgraceful that we've allowed this to happen in this country. And again, I know a lot of people get upset about this, but we do allow it. We're not forcefully taking them in. Because when you let them live on the streets, you are exposing them to predators. It's not just that. Obviously, I know there's a lot of drug abuse issues here, and President Trump is taking that issue head on. We're very appreciative of that. But he's also going after other cities, cities like San Francisco. He's got his eye on San Francisco, and he's looking to clean it up as well. Take a listen to clip 13, where he actually calls it out and prepares the mayor for what's up ahead.
Strongly recommending, at the request of government officials, which is always nice, that you start looking at San Francisco. I think we can make San Francisco. There's one of our great cities 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and now it's a mess. And we have great support in San Francisco, so I'd like to recommend that for inclusion.
It's infuriating that our cities have become destroyed, and we shouldn't fear, even though Austin's in Texas, we shouldn't fear going after that next. Listen, the President of the United States needs to go after all cities, regardless of who is running on a state level. We do have apparently a red majority here in Texas, but they have allowed this to happen in Austin. And it's leaking into the suburbs as well. You could live in a nice neighborhood in Austin, Texas, and you probably, if you're close to the city, you probably have seen it in your neighborhood. And I've actually never seen like the level of how emboldened a lot of these homeless men are. They have no problem going up to your car, trying to guilt you into giving money. In other states, in other areas, that really doesn't happen. I've never seen that before. You know, Alex posted a video of this young woman who was living on the streets, obviously struggling with a drug addiction problem. Living like this is an option, though. This isn't mandatory. We don't have to live this way. You know, I was walking in downtown Austin just a couple of days ago when a man who obviously struggling with mental health issues was screaming at me, screaming, white girl, white girl, white girl. And it's like, why do we live like this? He needs help. And it's obviously an unsafe situation for someone like myself. So why do we choose to sit here and allow them just to live off the streets? That's a choice. We don't have to live this way. We've chosen to live this way. Like a third world nation. Beautiful cities like Austin have been taken over. They've been taken over by Soros prosecutors who are refusing to hold these people accountable, or at least to help them get access to whatever medical services that they need. It's not humane to allow these people to live under overpasses, to let them live on the streets. I'm just simply trying to walk my dog and there's a man passed out in the middle of the sidewalk. Is he overdosing? Or is he just sleeping there? Now, obviously, I'm not going to find out. And do you call the police? Well, police aren't going to do anything. This is a normal day in Austin, Texas. It's just sad to see all of these beautiful cities come collapsing down. And people pretending like this is normal. You don't have to live this way. You know, President Trump made it a focus to go out there and clean up D.C., and that's why he's expanding his efforts. But for folks in Washington, D.C., they've been living like this for quite some time now, struggling to get by. Remember Big Balls? Here's a great segue for you. The Doge employee. Well, there was the video, there was the pictures, the aftermath of Doge employee Big Balls getting, after he got beaten up in D.C., trying to defend and help a woman out. Apparently, there was multiple people who went and assaulted him. Well, he's sounding off because two of those individuals have been given plea deals, or have been given, I should say this, they pleaded guilty and they were given no time because they're 15 years old. You see, in Washington, D.C., like other liberal cities, in Austin, too, by the way, if you are a minor, they are more empathetic to you than the actual victims of these crimes. And as we reported yesterday, the 15-year-old boy was receiving 12 months of probation, no prison time. And the 15-year-old girl, who was also a part of this, pleaded guilty to simple assault, was sentenced to 9 months of probation. And apparently, according to this report, her lawyer requested 4.5 months, I'm guessing, in jail. But no time for them. No time for them. And according to Big Balls, too, he did tweet this out and reacted to this yesterday. I did invite him on the show. We hope one day to get him on the program. But ultimately, he's saying that just two out of the others who assaulted him, eight, remain on the street. Reminding us of this, that night could have gone far differently. Think of your daughters, your mothers, the same group attacked people before and after us, breaking ribs and stomping on heads. The senseless crime must end. This guy should probably run for office. He's more efficient. He's got bigger balls. Most of our politicians these days. But again, people don't want to act until it affects them personally. Until it affects them personally. President Trump in clip 14 actually reacted to what took place and how those two teens were let off. Take a listen to clip 14.
Here in D.C., a judge has given the two teenagers that beat up ex-Doge staffer Big Balls probation.
It's incredible.
And no jail time. Is this justice?
Jeanine Pirro is doing a fantastic job, and she is beside herself because you have these radical left judges that they beat the hell out of this guy. And it was many people against this one guy who was really trying to protect his girlfriend. He didn't want his... They hooded over the door but they really beat him up badly. That just happened, right?
Yeah,
wow. That's terrible. I think the judge should be ashamed of himself. That's a big problem. You know, they can do their job and then they go into a court and the people are protected by these. I don't know where they come from. Where do these people come from? Where do the judges come from? I want to compliment on behalf of Pam and Todd and all of us because, Cash, I think that Jeanine has done a fantastic job. And the case I heard was like flawless. It's a flawless case. They have them on tape. They have everything. And then a judge gives them a little probation. These are rough guys. And they're young. And if that happens, they're going to grow up. They're going to be real bad. They're going to cause a lot of problems. Yeah, please. Go ahead.
So interesting enough, folks, you know, the White House obviously responding to this and President Trump not happy about this. It's not Judge Jeanine's fault either. You know, she's trying her very best to clean up D.C. She understands what's going on here. It's a lot of the local laws that she has to abide by as well. So keep that in mind. And you're also dealing with a bunch of liberal hacks who are pretending to be judges, but they are not allies of justice. And it's not just happening in blue cities. I know a lot of people like to dismiss it. It doesn't affect me. It affects all of us, because if you live in the state of Florida, you probably think you're safe as well. And in clip 15, we actually hear about a man who continuously has been released with no to very little bail, and that played out again for him. Now, he has been accused of trying to rape women, and take a listen to how that's played out for him thus far.
Sir, I want you to listen up.
Yes, ma'am.
You got an atrocious record.
Right.
These charges are violent in nature.
Despite his criminal history, Jacoby Tillman was granted a $9,500 bond and released from jail this weekend. He's accused of trying to rape a woman on the Little Econ Greenway Trail this summer. The Orange County Sheriff's Office released this surveillance video shortly after the attack in July. Tillman was just arrested this month on charges of attempted sexual battery, strangulation, and false imprisonment.
What bothers the court in setting bond in this case is that he's got some violent offenses and a violent history, and these are violent offenses. But nonetheless, I think that the bonds is set.
We've been looking into Tillman's record, too, and found out he was also arrested after grabbing a woman in the same area 3 years ago.
Yeah, so he was unsuccessful at raping her, so give him another shot. Why not? Why not? Continue to sacrifice women and the girls in our communities to these predators, because, folks, he hasn't successfully raped a woman. So maybe give him another shot. This is what's going on in our country, and this is what's happening all across this country. And it's infuriating, and let me explain why. As many of you guys know, I talked about it because this was like my beat. This is how I started working in media. Obviously started in sports, but I made my way over to crime stories in New York City specifically. And when you call police, they don't always respond appropriately, and you also have a chance of getting a ridiculous judge who doesn't understand what's actually happening here. Well, as I've detailed for you before, in Plano, Texas, the Plano Police Department has failed me on multiple occasions every time they apologize to me and tell me, oh, it's just a mistake, we're going to learn from it. When a man followed me into my building, chased after me, followed me into my apartment complex, and then tried coming up the stairs until he allegedly saw a firearm. That's when he runs out of the building and leaves. Police reported this in the police report as a flirting incident, this footage, and refused to show me the video, refused to show me his face, refused to show me anything. In fact, I had to submit Freedom of Information Act request, had to threaten to sue Plano police. We've talked about this before. And they thought this was a first time only. Now he's been arrested. I've got this mugshot after 9 million views. Plano police decided to do their job. The prosecutor's office, as far as I knew, did not know about this until I raised hell over in Plano PD, threatening to sue both the city and the police department. Well, it wasn't just flirting, it looks like, because now the suspect, who according to police admitted to doing everything that I told you that he did to me, to police, haven't yet listened to that audio yet, but that suspect didn't stop at me. Although Plano police told me, you don't need a protective order. I think you scared the crap out of him when he saw your firearm, according to the sergeant. Well, some woman reached out to me, and she's very familiar with the man who I believe was looking to attack me that day. Why? Well, apparently, according to her, he's allegedly been stalking her as well. Take a look at this footage that I have now obtained from her. He has gone into her place of employment, and he won't get the heck out. And it's not the first time, not the second time, not the third time, not the fourth time. According to her, she tells me he's coming 5 times. And this dates back to August, after my incident with him. And it's not just her. There are other women in the area who are also dealing with him. Plano police didn't want to arrest him. I had to push for that. It took me weeks to get them to do their damn jobs. Now, this woman told me that she actually went, after seeing my video online, to Plano police. And she tells me that she reached out to Plano PD, explained that she knows that they arrested him previously for what happened to me. And they said, oh, it happened in a different town. This happened in Frisco. You have to go to Frisco to report it. Yeah, you should, obviously. But given the fact that now she's outlining a pattern for you, wouldn't you take her first name, last name, maybe phone number down and hand it off to the prosecutor? Because the prosecutor would be the same prosecutor in Frisco as well. According to her, they didn't. They let her walk out and didn't take any of her information. Because that's what Plano police do. They don't actually take these things seriously. They've got to wait. You've got to wait for them actually to do something. And according to those who I've spoken to thus far, we've linked her up, obviously, to the prosecutor who's handling my case. But according to her, he's going around asking women that he doesn't know for hugs, retail workers, harassing them. In fact, many of them believe that they're being stalked by him now. Plano police are just waiting, essentially, for sadly what could possibly happen here. Now, again, he's only been charged with criminal trespassing and he's innocent until proven guilty. Plano police saying he admitted guilt, though, to them. I have not heard that audio myself. But this is what happens when you come forward and you try to report something. If you get stuck with a really bad police department who does not actually want to do their jobs, by the way, Plano PD is one of the highest paid in the country, you're screwed. You're screwed. I actually wrote the police chief, Ed Drain, again, telling him to resign. It's time for you to step down. And I look forward to those public hearings when we'll be talking openly about how Ed Drain has failed the community. Now, again, people within Plano PD have called me and had these discussions with me. And although I will not disclose their names, they let me know that Ed Drain is very... The only thing he's really on top of is making sure that he brings minorities to the highest ranks within the police department rather than qualified candidates. And it's probably why I've had the experience I've had thus far with the police department. Those who are rising to the top within Plano PD are only getting there because of their race rather than their qualifications. In fact, many are alleging to me that he has pushed away those white members of his police force because they don't want them to be at the top of the agency. So we've got a major issue in Plano. I look forward to obviously doing the digging, of course. But, and I have the recordings, the sergeant telling me, don't worry, you don't need a protective order against Harvey. He sounded really afraid of you. He's not afraid, because in fact he came after me in July, had an engagement prayer a couple of days later, and then went back to creeping on women in Frisco, Texas now, just a couple of miles away from us. Great job, Plano PD. This is going on all across the country. Welcome to the left's new America. Folks, we got more to unpack in just a few moments. I'm going to be joined by incredible guests, so don't go anywhere. Also, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We're giving you a free $10 for a limited time. Plus, we're extending that 25% off site-wide sale in addition to that free $10. So now is the time to head on over. This is the best sale I've seen thus far. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and start stocking up on all of your needs.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up...
Can you, like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original Infowars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the Infowar, and I salute you all.
Democratic frontrunner Zohran Mamdani is facing growing scrutiny over his campaign finances. According to reports by right-wing media outlets, Mamdani's campaign accepted donations from foreign sources, which would be a direct violation of U.S. election law. The controversy comes just weeks before Election Day and has raised fresh questions about transparency, accountability, and the flow of money into American politics. Now, under U.S. election law, candidates are strictly prohibited from accepting campaign funds from non-U.S. citizens or foreign residents. Yet new findings suggest that Zohran Mamdani's mayoral campaign received nearly $13,000 from foreign donors, including a contribution from his mother-in-law in Dubai.
What happens if Mamdani wins? What happens to $700,000 above asking? Does that go to $1 million above
it's
asking?
It's going to keep going up. I mean, this is a great time to be a seller. That's my pitch today.
Gradually, America's waking up to calls to prayer and the smell of halal incense burning in the shadows of Lady Liberty. The Islamic invasion of America isn't some fever dream cooked up in a Bilderberg back room. It's now live and unfolding right now before your very eyes, block by block, mosque by mosque.
I find that there are only two things which are open to our movements. Ballot or bullet, nothing in between.
I used to say that democracy is haram. Now I say participation in democracy is our jihad. That's our jihad. We're going to fight not through the bullets, but the ballots.
Going to the ballot and voting is now an obligatory action, fard ayn. And it is a jihad that is now needs to be done because this is our modern jihad. You can elect a person who wants the sharia.
Because in the United States, what we do know is that in the past election, just this last election, there have been over 800 Muslim candidates running for office.
We may end up with about 50 members of Congress in the next 6 years. That's really the essence of dismantling the system of injustice, is to replace it with the people who represent the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Approximately 71% of foreign-born Muslims arrived after 1990, with a significant surge after 2000. Over the last decade, from 2015 to 2025, U.S. immigration data indicates about 6.6 million total foreign-born arrivals since 2018, with Muslims making up a small but growing share, including roughly 3 million Muslim immigrants arriving between 2020 and 2025 amid global displacement, or the United Nations Replacement Migration Plan. Peel back the veil of multiculturalism and you'll see the blueprint laid bare in the unredacted files of the Muslim Brotherhood's Explanatory Memorandum, a 1991 roadmap to settle America through immigration, infiltration, and the slow boil of Sharia supremacy.
We not want to melt into American society and disappear. We want to go into American society with Islamic ideals and revamp their thinking. We want to revamp them.
I am holding in my hand the Muslim Brotherhood Plan for North America, written in 5/22/1991. This is about their explanation on how they're going to take over the West, their 100-year plan to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. This plan was presented as evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terrorism trial ever in the history of the United States, where our government handed down 108 guilty verdicts to Muslim Americans and Muslim organizations in America, raising money in the United States and sending it overseas to support terrorist activity overseas. And it says, the process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religion.
The founding fathers didn't bleed at Bunker Hill for a demi dystopia. Their numbers are small and will remain small for at least another decade. Don't believe their hype. Don't give in to the fear. God bless you and God save the Republic while we still can. John Bound reporting. for in.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Oh,
because you showed up.
Is that the way to
you
talk?
Showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right
a
now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. But we're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, wide selection of Patriot apparel, and gear, promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're in the final lap of the third hour of the program. We're excited that you're all joining us today. We're also excited because Douglas Mackey is going to join us in just a moment. Obviously, as many of you guys know, I call him our First Amendment warrior. This is exactly what he is. Most of you know that it was the Hillary Clinton meme that really got under the deep state skin, and they wanted to throw him in prison for that. He is a fighter. He has continued to fight for all of our rights to meme, and he's going to join us in a moment with just a very, very big announcement that he has coming our way, so we're excited for that. We're also going to be joined by Mark Mitchell in just a few moments as well to break down the very latest polls. But let's talk about Douglas Mackey for a second, because Mackey's working on something, and he's looking to hold those accountable in government. Those who decided to go after him for the crime of posting a meme, he is officially going to be making a tort claim very soon, and he's looking to collect damages from the federal government who abused their powers to go after him. So he joins us now. We're very thankful for that. Douglas Mackey, thank you for being here, my friend, our First Amendment warrior. We're excited to hear the news that you're going to be collecting or trying to collect damages from the government. Break down this latest claim that you guys are preparing to make.
Yeah, Brianna, thank you. We're going to be filing imminently a Federal Tort Claims Act claim with the DOJ. For those that don't know, this is a confidential internal claim that you file with the DOJ if the government, the federal government, has damaged you in any way, shape, or form. And so we're going to be filing claiming damages, not only legal fees, which are in the millions and which I still owe hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million on. And we're also going to be arguing that they've damaged me. They went after me for exercising my constitutional rights in violation of or in retaliation for First Amendment, speech and violating the Fourth Amendment, protections against unreasonable search and seizure. I was arrested. I was held in leg irons for hours waiting for my arraignment. Fortunately, I never had to go to federal prison. However, we're going to be asking for millions of dollars of damages for emotional, distress, anxiety, all the things you can imagine happen to someone who has to go through this claim, not to mention damages to reputation, which are in the millions, and also not to forget damage to my ability to generate income. So we're really excited to be filing this confidential claim, and we are really looking forward to discussing this claim with the DOJ. We're confident that within AG Bondi and Todd Blanche and the others, that they're going to be trying to redress this wrong that happened under a weaponized system under Joe Biden.
Yeah, and obviously you have been wronged, and you know the American people did donate to your cause, but the reality of it is, we were talking about this earlier in the show, legal fees are insane. I mean, the lawyer fees that you have to accrue and that you're constantly being billed for, even though you're able to raise funds, the number is extraordinary. Break down, just for our audience who's never been on the other side of the lawfare, break down specifically some of the financial burdens that you've had to take on thus far.
Absolutely. So, you know, you can see there on GoFundMe, we almost raised $100,000 or give, send, go. Sorry. Much better than GoFundMe. And you can imagine that money was gone in basically an instant. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of pretrial bills for things like filing motions. We filed a motion for a bill of particulars. We filed a motion to dismiss the case, all the court hearings, all the preparation that just goes into those motions, hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars just preparing for trial. You can imagine how much the trial costs in and of itself. That's another hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we were very fortunate to be able to retain Jones Day on the appeal. And they did incredible. They won the appeal, but Jones Day is not cheap. They did give us a discount on fees, but we're still talking about obviously upwards of $500,000 just in appellate fees. So I'm fortunate that we raised a lot of money on memedefensefund.com. We raised a lot of crypto. We raised a lot of gives and go money, but this is not even near enough to cover the upwards of $2 million in legal fees. So I'd like to retire these legal debts. And so we're going to be filing this claim very shortly. And I'm still raising money, by the way.
Yeah. So, folks, thank you for bringing that up, too. That's very important for us all at home. If you guys want to contribute, please do just that. Because, you know, Mackie, like you said, this is going to play out, but it takes time. And you've accrued these debts, and obviously people are going to be looking to collect on these debts. And so for those of you at home that would like to contribute, we'll put the website up on the screen in just a moment. I also want to remind our audience that you were sentenced to 7 months in prison for literally memeing. I mean, that's what you were looking at. That's how serious this was. And so when you're talking about the type of kind of stress this inflicts on someone's life, I mean, it's so insane. By the way, it's give, send, go, and it's, or you guys could go to, it's easier actually to do it this way, the memedefensefund.com. But the level of stress this inflicts on your life is significant. Also at the time too, you were going through something that was already stressful. I believe you guys were just beginning to start a family. Your family was specifically, I believe I remember hearing stories about your wife and what you guys, you just recently had a child. And so, the stress is a lot. Is there anything specifically you'd like to talk about that? Because for those at home, the lawfare angle of it, we know the finances of it, but the personal stress this causes is significant.
Well, this caused a lot of stress for me, but my poor wife, we found out she was pregnant on the eve of trial. So we actually got married in January of 2023 because we said we can't sit around waiting for this case to be over to get married. It could take years. It could be old men and women. So we got married, and then after we set the wedding date, all the invitations, we got the trial date, which was March, 2 months. So you can imagine how that was for a honeymoon. For people that don't know, going under undergoing a criminal trial is incredibly difficult, and the amount of loneliness. I mean, it was myself and a great defense attorney, Andrew Frisch, who's worked solo. Because we didn't have millions of dollars to hire a whole team of seven lawyers or whatever. So you can just imagine that. And then this was in the middle of 2023, right before Trump was indicted. He was exiled in Mar-a-Lago. They were treating Trump supporters like the scum of the earth. And so this was the jury environment, and the judge, who's a Democrat. I believe Obama appointed judge was awful. She ruled against us at every chance she could get. So it was incredible. But then not only was my wife pregnant during this time, we had the sentencing in October of 2023. My wife was hospitalized with a difficult pregnancy beginning of the month of October. I had to get on an airplane and go to sentencing in October in New York. As soon as I landed and touched down on the ground, I get a phone call. And they're saying, oh, the doctor needs to perform an emergency C-section. 8 p.m. tonight. You can imagine I landed like, I don't know, 6 p.m. or whatever, 5 p.m. So there's no way I can get home for that. So we just grinned and bared it, went to the sentencing hearing the next morning, and I missed the birth of my son, the emergency C-section. I wasn't able to be there for my wife, and I had to fly home the next day and meet the baby. So it was very difficult. And then this appeal dragged on for 15 months by itself. I mean, we were fortunate that President Trump won the election. I had a lot on the line because President Trump, for those that don't know, he was very supportive of my appeal and my case because he realized it was lawfare and it was weaponization and it was a violation of free speech. So we were fortunate President Trump was in office. But I'm thinking, well, if we lose this appeal, then it's going to be hundreds of thousands of more dollars, Supreme Court, months and months, maybe a year or two more of waiting. And so we're very fortunate. July 9th, we won the case, and this thing was ended in a judgment of acquittal. But the stress and the damage from that and the anxiety is incalculable, really. I mean, we're talking, you know, millions of dollars if you really had to put a dollar sign on it.
Yeah. And, you know, Mackie, when we Google your name, all of this comes up. And so, yeah, there's a lot of damages that are done to your reputation, which find it, which make it difficult for employment opportunities as well. And it's one of the many issues that even J6ers are having, although they've been cleared by the president and they were wronged by the DOJ at the time. I mean, they still have the same similar issues that you are having. And so it's a very real thing. And I think people need to realize that this doesn't just end at the, you know, the fact that the appeals court ruled in your favor. This is still ongoing. And so I want to keep reminding people of that. I also want to keep reminding people that the weaponization of our federal government is a top issue these days. And you are going to be appearing on November 3rd in front of the Weaponization Committee. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I would love to go before the Weaponization Committee, but I'm actually going to be on a panel that's being hosted by the Patriot Freedom Project on November 3rd. We're going to be up there in D.C. with the great defense attorney, John Lauro, who defended President Trump, Cynthia Hughes, who's been fighting for the J6ers, yes, and several others are going to be on the panel, defense attorneys or defendants. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be very exciting. We're going to discuss weaponization in D.C. We're going to be fighting these cases. What people don't realize is there are a number of cases that are still working their way through the system that were brought by the Biden DOJ that we believe are cases of weaponization where people were singled out for prosecution because either because Joe Biden hated Trump or Joe Biden hated crypto. The list goes on. Doctors that were that are being persecuted because they challenged the Biden administration on monoclonal antibodies. A man named Dr. Ron Elfenbein, who was targeted by Biden because he embarrassed him. He went on Fox News and said that Biden shouldn't stop giving people these monoclonal antibodies because they're working. And they prosecuted him in a crazy weaponized case. So these cases are still ongoing. So I'm going to be working with the Patriot Freedom Project and Weaponization Watch. We're going to be bringing these cases to the attention of the DOJ and the White House. God only knows they have a crazy task ahead of them, so they need all the help they can get. So we're going to be bringing these cases to their attention.
Yeah, and Cynthia has her work cut out for her. There's so much to dig into, and it's still not settled yet. And I know she's working aggressively hard to do that, so that's good to hear. I want to remind our audience again, it's thememedefensefund.com if you'd like to support Douglas Mackey as he continues this fight, because it's going to be a long one as well. But, you know, Mackey, we're very familiar on the InfoWars side of a good fight. Obviously, Alex has been the victim of the lawfare for quite some time now, and we're battling to keep InfoWars up and running. But, you know, we just got some discouraging news. I know you wanted to sound off on this as well, because we received news that the Supreme Court does not want to listen to Alex's arguments and his appeal requests. It's really discouraging because, again, he was slapped with a $1.4 billion judgment against him. And there was no jury in all of this. Alex alleges that the courts are very corrupt. When you look through all the information that comes out, yeah, it does look extremely corrupt. It also looks ridiculous because there was an FBI element to all of this. And sadly, you know, Ed Martin, another patriot, was trying his best to hold those accountable, but it looks like that might have been blocked by Todd Blanch, which we hope isn't true. That's what we're hearing according to sources. So I just wanted to hear your reaction to seeing that Alex is now no longer going to have that element of possibly the Supreme Court taking up that $1.4 billion judgment. And just what's your reaction to this? Because it's a free speech argument, essentially.
Right. Yeah, well, I was attracted to the free speech argument here. But not only that, I think that there's an Eighth Amendment situation going on where cruel and unusual punishment. I mean, to call maybe these people who are claiming that they were, suffered emotional damages or whatever, $1.4 billion. I mean, I don't think anybody's emotional damage is worth $1.4 billion. That's insane. And at the very least, such a judgment should be reduced on appeal. But of course, this is Alex Jones and they want to punish him for opposing the establishment and the regime and for also, you know, just for who he is, what he says. It's retaliation. They're attacking him for his free speech. So, I mean, that to me, the $1.4 billion just jumps out at me as patently unjust. And, you know, a lot of countries, you know, we see in England like that, you sue some for damages or libel or something like that, and maybe you'll win $50,000 or $100,000. Only in America do you see these giant judgments, but which is fine, I'm sure, in some cases where people really are damaged, but $1.4 billion is insane.
Yeah, no, it is insane. And the goal there isn't to punish Alex and allow him to still keep his platform. The goal is to wipe out his platform, and we have free press in this country, and if you don't like something that we say on air, it doesn't mean that you got to just take us out. And although Alex is, you know, is planning his next operation and, you know, how what that looks like legally for him, it's just ridiculous that the Supreme Court doesn't take something up like this. You know, if John Roberts really wanted to disprove that Alex was treated unfairly, you would take up this argument and you let it play before your Supreme Court. But sadly, that's not the case. And it was really discouraging to hear that news. It's also discouraging to hear about how deep the weaponization of our federal government actually goes. I know we talked about it early in the show as well, but we're finding out more about how aggressive people like Jack Smith were when it came to the persecution of President Donald Trump, and how the J6 committee was also aggressively going after not just President Trump, but going after conservative Americans. And, you know, we're learning more about the 30 million phone call recordings and all the data they extracted from those who were in communication, apparently, with the White House. And we don't know specifically who was involved in all of that, but we're learning more about Adam Kinzinger, the so-called Republican who was supposed to make this a nonpartisan type of a committee, as absurd as that is, was so willing to help out the FBI and hand over that warrantless data that they obtained. And then he did so according to reports. And again, this is reports that we haven't been able to see it ourselves. We're being told that he did so prior to the 2024 election, where he reached out to Christopher Wray. We don't know if they accepted the information that he was looking to pass over. But again, they found a very creative way of going around obtaining your personal information without a warrant. And Adam Kinzinger is so willingly looking to toss it over to the FBI. I mean, what's your reaction to all of this?
So it's completely insane. Where is the legislative argument here? I mean, they're supposed to be investigating these kind of things for the purpose of legislation, but this was basically a DOJ investigation by other means, by the legislative branch. So they're undergoing a massive witch hunt, but they don't have this. They are entitled to speech immunity protections as congressmen. So they aren't even held to the same standard that the DOJ would be. And we know how rare it is for the DOJ to be held accountable for anything. So it's just an end run around the law. And but what's crazy is that this was led by Republicans, by Kinzinger. But I don't want to let the guy off the hook who actually came up with the dragnet himself, which is a Republican former congressman by the name of Denver Riggleman out of Virginia. So it's like these people, you know, thank God they're getting pushed out of the party. But to go after 30 million phone records, that is, and first of all, what are they going to prove by that anyway? They're going to run some machine learning on it to see who called the White House the most times. I mean, that is just, it's complete witch hunt, and it's a complete fantasy that you're going to find anything out of that. It reminds me a lot of Russiagate, and it reminds me a lot of my case where they just scooped up as much information as they could and started trying to connect dots that were impossible to connect. I mean, that's why I won my case. Because the government, the judges said in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals that no reasonable jury could have convicted based on this slapdash evidence that they put together, because I never committed any crime. And of course, we know how the whole Russiagate thing went, where they just scooped up people's emails, phones, investigated them for years and found nothing because it was a fantasy. And on the other side of the aisle, Democrats want to say, oh, Republicans like conspiracy theories, whatever. Well, when they have a conspiracy theory, they apparently get the power of the federal government, of the DOJ, and of the Congress to investigate and to follow these witch hunts and go down these rabbit holes. So it's really completely insane. And I like to say that weaponization is not just who they go after, it's also who they don't go after. Now they're complaining that James Comey, Letitia James have been indicted, perhaps John Bolton next, and they don't think that those people should be indicted for clearly breaking the law. But they think that Trump should have been indicted for all these witch hunts and he should have been prosecuted, even though those are very novel interpretations of the law, novel prosecutions, and based on very little or no evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mackie, I mean, there's going to have to be accountability. I don't think the people of this country are going to settle for anything less. Those who were a part of this, we will not allow them to just say, okay, we're going to give you a couple indictments with Comey and maybe Bolton. I mean, these aren't the people. These are people who I believe who should be held accountable, but they're not the core of the problem. And these are easy people to pawn off as if justice was served. So we're going to keep demanding more on that front. I also want to remind our audience, too, we just got breaking news from President Trump. According to his Truth Social account, you brought up Russia. He's actually on the phone right now speaking with Vladimir Putin, saying that the conversation is ongoing and it's very lengthy, and he will report what's said specifically in this meeting that he's having right now with Putin in a little bit. But he's thanking all of us for our attention to this matter. But again, he's really trying his best to bring peace to the region as well. And so we'll keep you updated on that as it develops. I'm sure we'll get an update from him soon on that front. But I want to talk about the news outlets that aren't really news outlets, but they're slowly being canceled. We're very thankful for that. But NBC News is preparing one of its largest layoffs in years, firing 150 employees expected to lose their jobs over this next week. This is the changes that they're making to MSNBC, CNBC as well. I mean, they're looking to sell MSNBC. It's not profitable. It's obviously a fake news network, but it's being pawned off as news when it's really more so opinion, and it's kind of coddling the minority within the minority these days, which is the far left. Your reaction to these layoffs, that kind of shows us the American people have abandoned this corporate media narrative.
Yeah, well, with NBC News laid off a number of DEI staff, including the LGBTQ news division and the Black and Latino interest groups. And it's like, well, what are these divisions even doing? I mean, isn't that just normal news? I mean, can't they just report under the normal news umbrella, or they need to hire all these people? I mean, it's crazy. And of course, they probably didn't hire very talented people, and it's probably not paying off. They're probably not producing anything. But what's significant to me also is that they already spun off MSNBC, or they're about to, and they already pawned off all of their really hardcore partisan bad reporters, people like Brandi Zadrozny and the deep state's PR person, Ken Dalanian. They already pawned them off onto MSNBC, and they're still having to lay off 150 people. So they're really struggling. And MSNBC, I'm wondering how much longer they're going to last. They just had their worst quarter since 1998, and it's really just become sort of a pathetic channel. So it's good to see in a lot of respects, because I mean, when you're talking about NBC, you're talking about a broadcast news outlet like CBS or ABC. And these are the people that are giving Donald Trump 99% negative coverage. I don't care who you are. You can't just have 99% negative coverage on a president. It's completely insane. Especially when, like you said, he's ended 7 wars and now he's working on Russia and Ukraine. I wouldn't bet against him to come to some sort of resolution for that conflict.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's on the horizon at this point, because both sides know that he's not messing around and he is hyper-focused on ending those wars. So we look forward to that. Douglas Mackey, thank you for joining us and with this developing story in regards to your personal case. We're rooting for you, my friends. So thank you again, folks. If you want to help him out, head over to the memedefensefund.com, memedefensefund.com. Again, this is going to take a while for it to settle, and he's got legal bills that are still accruing, so we appreciate your help if you can do just that. Thank you so much, Mackey.
Thank you.
Folks, I want to remind you also, we have an incredible sale that we just extended for a little bit over at the alexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now, because when you do, you're going to get a free $10, no minimum to spend. And we're also being told that we're extending the 25% off store-wide sale in addition to that free $10. So again, this is probably the best sale I've seen thus far. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Now's the time to stock up on all your favorite items. And when you do that, you're helping us prepare for our next operation to keep the information war up and running. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. All right, more underway. Mark Mitchell joining me next.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we're in the final lap of the third hour. Welcome back to the program. Of course, we're excited to have you here. We just broke a little bit of news. President Trump saying that he's currently on the phone with Vladimir Putin. We'll keep you updated on that because that call is still ongoing. But President Trump also has a big announcement he is apparently making later today on his schedule at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So we will keep you up to date on all things related to that. But I'm joined by my good friend Mark Mitchell right now. And Mark is joining us to react to the latest poll from Rasmussen Reports in regards to the support that Americans have for Israel. According to their latest poll, it's about 41% of voters saying that they look at the history of Israel and Palestine. They sympathize more with Israelis. Now, that's down from 48% back in February of 2024. And it's a sharp decrease from 59%, which was back in November of 2023. So Mark joins us now to break down the numbers. Thanks for being here, Mark. I'm glad to have you on. Break down this new poll for us.
I mean, this is really a cataclysmic drop for Israel, and I hope that this peace deal that Trump negotiated sticks, because I think they need a cooling off period. They need a little bit of time in the timeout corner. They were up to plus 41 in this benchmark question just 2 years ago. And obviously it was because a lot of people blame the Palestinians for the event that happened on October 7th. It was like a 5-1 that blamed the Palestinians versus the Israelis. 78% said that the Palestinians were, Hamas was basically violent terrorists. And a vast majority of people, including 64% of Democrats, agreed that Israel needed to eradicate Hamas. The problem is that they've been losing the PR battle, and now we've gone from plus 41 in that tracking question down to only plus 13. And the numbers are really appalling when you look at Democrats. Democrats actually support Palestinians more than Israelis now, 35-28%. And only 21%, 18-29-year-olds in this question say Israelis. And so when Bibi Netanyahu says they have a problem with American Zoomers, they really, really do. These people are 44% Palestinian, only 21% the Israelis.
Yeah, I mean, we've been seeing these numbers too decline. And, you know, there is this big push in the United States now. Listen, Israel's had a very stronghold on our media in regards to what we can and can't say. And I say it on this show all the time. I know it gets people aggravated, but the reality of it is there's a difference between Israel, that's the government itself, and the Jewish people. So when you offer your criticisms for a very long time, people have been kind of shunned from doing so because they label you as an anti-Semite. But the reality of it is most Americans are just done with that. And they're pushing back on those titles, those name calling that's been going on for far too long. And they are still offering their criticisms of the government. So it's interesting to see that as it develops. Mark, I want to turn to something else. This one's also a big one. You guys just recently released this poll regarding President Trump and the National Guard being deployed. According to your polling, 52% of likely U.S. voters support the President of the United States using the National Guard to defend ICE facilities. And there's at least 39% who strongly support that. Now, President Trump saying that they're probably going to start using federal agents in San Francisco next. Break down these latest numbers as well.
I mean, Americans are just craving law and order, because remember, part of the blowback, this was a referendum, the 2024 election on the corruption of government. Part of the blowback was this soft on crime, cashless bail, defund the police movement that kicked it all off back in 2020. And so that 52% number is actually like even bigger, because the margin is, I think, almost plus 10. And that's a pretty big margin considering how politicized this is with all the images of, you know, Trump's fascist jackboot thugs beating up on our poor Antifa protesters. Well, also by a majority, or by a pretty good lead, Americans also support ICE agents and not anti-ICE protesters. And this is all because they saw the invasion. Americans by a majority actually agreed that the Biden administration enabled an invasion of the southern border. And we had deportations, mass deportation programs as high as 64% support back in like January and February, when the press was flooding TV with images of ICE agents, like, you know, busting down doors and shipping Maryland fathers off to like Venezuela and Uganda or wherever they sent that guy. So again, I like the accountability signals have been off the charts. We had 67% saying they agreed that it was time to drain the swamp. 72% of people angry at the level of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. Almost 60% of people saying that intel officials that constituted the Russian collusion hoax by manipulating intelligence should be thrown in jail. And even the signal of like executions, capital punishment, is through the roof. We tested it after Irina Zaruska, and it's 60% to 20%, the biggest it's ever been in our history. So yeah, this isn't going to play well, them crying crocodile tears about, you know, these protesters getting put away, because these people have been accompanying the radical left for like 10 years now, and people have seen it and they're sick of it.
Yeah, I think they're tired of it. I think this is something that both sides can agree on. They want to live in safe communities, and President Trump's really the only one tackling that. And it doesn't, I know a lot of people say it's blue cities. It's literally a crisis taking place all across the country, and it's becoming infuriating that certain lawmakers don't do anything about it. You know, I was saying it earlier in the show, we're in Austin, and in Austin, although it's a very red state, they say allegedly, of course, if you've seen the legislator, it's kind of rhino-ish. Yeah. But locally, the Soros prosecutors have completely destroyed Austin, Texas, allowing the crime to skyrocket, to allow homelessness skyrocket. And so any level-headed person who has to live in these types of conditions, I would imagine, would be supporting the president's efforts to clean up some of our biggest cities. You know, we used to say back in the day, I don't want to go to Mexico because you thought they had a high crime rate over there. But the reality of it is we have American cities that are completely wiping that high crime number over in Mexico off the charts. And it's absurd that we have to get to this point. And, you know, Mark, I'll let you kind of weigh in on this, too. It's crazy to me, and I don't understand why Democrats are doing it, but they're challenging in court President Trump's authority to bring in the National Guard to protect federal buildings from these far left terrorists. I mean, they've got midterms coming up. Are they not fearful of what this might actually do to them?
Yeah, I mean, this was the big question after the 2024 election. I was actually talking to Alex about this, and I said, well, I think the cult is going to get cultier, but also smaller. And it looks like they're not going through the introspection that one would hope that they would go through, the soul searching, the correcting course of the Democrat Party and why their policies don't match the will of the overwhelming majority of voters. Now, the problem is that, again, most of Trump's things are wildly popular, but because of the lies, because of the gaslighting, because of the quasi-religious way in which the liberal, you know, neo-Marxist world doctrine is shoved down everybody's throats, the country is relatively divided, of course, with all of their edges and electioneering and psychological operations and all of these echo chambers they have. And the problem is just driving further division. And so at this point, I can only assess that they are unable to correct course, even though it's going to harm them increasingly politically. And so that's probably not what the powers that be want, which is either a continuation of the status quo at all costs or some kind of like communist accelerationism. It's got to be one of those two, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, sitting back and watching, it just doesn't feel like a winning strategy, but maybe that's the goal here. We know that there's a lot of obviously election fraud. I don't think we've handled that properly, so maybe that's what they're counting on. I mean, who knows at this point. Mark, I also want to get to, before you go though, I wanted to get to President Trump's latest polling number, because you guys poll daily on his approval rating, and it's at an all-time high right now of 50% for most presidents at this time in their presidency. Break down this number, because I know a lot of Americans were excited to see that the war between Israel and Hamas has for now concluded in the first phase of this peace deal, but break down these numbers for us to help us understand what we're understanding here or seeing here.
Yeah. Well, people would say, oh, it's only 50%. No, Trump should be at 60%. And no, this is the most maligned person in modern politics. The fact that he's got 50% is absolutely stunning. But if you look at the chart, what happens going all the way back to Obama 1 is people have honeymoons. They come in and people are like, oh, like they very clear-eyed think, well, this president might actually fix something. He actually promised all of these things on the stump. Well, Donald Trump wasn't like that because he convinced the people who were his supporters and they were sticky, but he wasn't changing the minds of these people that watch MSNBC, the people who just vote Democrat because it's their Yankees to the other side's Mets or whatever. But then he also has a floor. His numbers have just not gotten that low. And historically, going all the way back to Obama 1, you saw that red line. It's above all the other lines, including significantly above that blue line, which is Biden right now. I mean, we're basically 2 weeks after 4 years ago, the Let's Go Brandon interview. I mean, that's where we were in Biden's administration. And so I don't know if this red line can go up much higher, but I don't think it's going to go down either. It's just a question mark of whether Trump's going to convert his followers into full-throated Republican support, whether they're going to keep the House in the 2026 midterms. I don't know. But what I don't see is that red line is not plunging. And the government has been shut down 16 days now. And so this idea that Trump somehow getting blamed for the government shutdown is not. not happening at all. People don't care at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love to watch Democrats push that narrative as if it's his fault in any way possible. It's laughable given the fact that they're literally the ones holding out for illegal aliens to get access to health care at this point. And it's very obvious. I don't think people are missing out on that one. I think most Americans understand what's going on here. Mark, I want to thank you for all the incredible work you do over at Rasmussen Reports. You are an incredible pollster. The only one that I actually trust these days. Cause again, we don't have reliable stats when it comes to all of this, but you have been on the money for this. So, Mark, thank you for joining the show today. We greatly appreciate it, as always.
Great to be here. Thanks, Brianna.
It's always great to have Mark Mitchell on the program. All right, folks, I want to switch it up a little bit, too, and make sure you see these headlines, because Axios released a report earlier today in regards to Senator Fetterman. And ultimately, Democrats are gunning for him. They don't want him to keep his position. He's been kind of like the voice of reason. And in clip 16, we're going to play for you. You're going to listen to how Fetterman has, it's crazy to me, but he has been the voice of reason in regards to trying to bring the left and the right together by calling out how radical the left has become. Take a listen.
I'm the only Democrat in my family. I grew up in a conservative part of Pennsylvania, and I grew up and I know and I love people that voted for President Trump. But they are not fascists. They're not Nazis. They're not trying to destroy the Constitution and those things. And that's part of another thing. I refuse to call people Nazis or fascists, or I would never compare anybody to Hitler and those things. And now that kinds of extreme rhetoric is going to continue. We're going to be more likely in resulting in extreme kind of outcomes and political violence and doing all these kinds of things like Charlie Kirk. For me, all I could say is like, let people grieve. Give people the space. I'm not going to use that terrible thing and that Pasek assassination to make my argument and try to put out my views. It's like, my God, you know, he's a father that had his neck blown out by a bullet. And now people have forgotten. President Trump was in my state, was shot in the head. And if that would have, could you imagine where our nation would be if he was hit in the same way with Kirk? We really got to turn the temperature down. And we can agree to disagree on these kinds of things. But right now, shutting down the government, I just can't take it that.
All right, Fetterman being the voice of reason, and which has a lot of Democrats very upset. So they are gunning for his seat. He obviously won in 2022. And it was interesting to sit back and watch his victory, because at first I honestly thought this was going to be a man just based off of the fact that he doesn't wear suits and based off how in the past he's supported far-left agenda. His agenda, and he's also obviously got the wife who was not a U.S. citizen at the time and who has admitted to allegedly being in the country illegally. I mean, there was a lot of elements to this that weren't going to add up for Fetterman. Now, again, his voting record, it doesn't side with what you and I probably believe in, but he sounds like the voice of reason, which is kind of insane, which is actually kind of insane. I mean, that's how far the left has become. John Fetterman is a moderate. John Fetterman is the only Democrat who actually makes sense when he speaks. The party itself is infuriated by people like John Fetterman. There's no place for them in their party, and that's why they're looking to push him out. You see, that's why we're going to have so many just moderate Republicans at some point, where they're just former Democrats who just feel like they've lost their way in the party because the party has lost itself. So people like John Fetterman start to make sense. Fetterman doesn't want to be a contributor to the violence on the left, and he's letting that be known. Too many Democrats fear the retaliation that might take place if they come out and say things like that, so they won't say it directly to you. But Fetterman appears to be fearless, and he is letting his party know that he does not support how radical they have become. And it's refreshing to hear. It truly is refreshing to hear. I didn't have John Fetterman on my bingo card for being the most rational Democrat. But here we are. All right, let's turn to something else. Let's talk about the Pentagon, because I continue to cover it. I want to make sure that you guys all know what's going on there in regards to the media. Now, again, all of these corporate media outlets are now taking a stance against the Pentagon's new rules that they're making them sign off on. And in those rules, it pretty much dictates that they can't just walk around the Pentagon, which is reasonable. And I actually didn't even know until I spoke with somebody over at the Department of War that the media is allowed to just kind of stroll around the Pentagon. Okay. They also must now have, they can't do that anymore. They're restricted to certain areas. they also must have their credentials on at all times. And again, that's reasonable. As somebody who worked in sports at Major League Baseball, you couldn't walk around the ballparks without your credentials on. Whether you were in the writer's room or whether you were walking around the ballpark, those had to be present. And so again, that's not insane. That is a reasonable ask. But the media seems to have a really big disappointment in regards to this rule, which I'm told was always a rule. It was never put in writing in regards to not releasing unauthorized information. So yesterday they staged this walkout. It's from everyone from Fox to Newsmax to every other corporate media outlet. Oh gosh, she's wearing a mask. Decided to walk out. They're not signing off on these new rules and they are leaving. Again, I'm told this is not something that's new, that this is something that has just officially been put in writing. Now, again, the Department of War is not letting up on this. These outlets claim that they're going to continue to cover the Pentagon from a distance. But these reporters are packing up and leaving. And here's my thing. I mean, if the Pentagon is serious about trying to go after reporters for releasing unauthorized information, that's definitely something that I would say violates the free press for sure. Absolutely. I've released unauthorized information all the time. It's not declassified information, obviously. It's not classified information, obviously. It's information that I am allowed to obtain legally, but it's not authorized by the Department of War's comms team. And although I do sincerely love all of those people who are now working for the Department of War, I've got a number of friends over there. They are great people, patriots. I don't think they'd intentionally try to stop us from reporting because they are also, keep in mind, members of the media at one point. There needs to be more digging into this. What does it specifically mean? Again, they're telling me that they're not trying to infringe on the free press element to all of this. We should probably look into a legal challenge. I mean, if this is how these media outlets truly feel, they've got the funding. This is all the big major networks. Go to court, bring this to court. Let's see this play out. This needs to play out. You see, if they are truly, truly trying to stomple on our rights as journalists to report on things, then we've got a major issue here. So I look forward to seeing if there's a lawsuit that's filed. There should be a lawsuit filed. If they truly, truly believe that that's exactly what they say is happening. Again, I've never reported specifically in the Pentagon, so I wouldn't know if this was always an ongoing element, that this was spoken. It was never put into words in regards to the unofficial reports coming out. But again, this worked out so well for us in the Biden administration, obviously. So many people came to us, were giving us information as to what was happening behind the scenes, and we released it because it wasn't classified. You were allowed to release it. Some of my biggest stories came out because of government employees who feared becoming whistleblowers because there's a lot of retaliation for whistleblowers and just handed information off to us. When the roles reverse, do you want to find out what's actually happening behind the scenes? Because we might get another Joe Biden occupying the White House. Do you want people to tell you what's actually happening, or do you want to just be spoon-fed whatever lies come out in a press release? See, defending our right as journalists to publish things that we want to publish that aren't classified, that have been legally obtained, is something I agree that is worth the fight. Whether they plan on taking that fight up, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. There's more going on across the world, of course, that we wanted to make sure that you guys knew all about. So let's dive into the next headline. The next one I want to talk about was how President Trump is going to be fighting back against discrimination in regards to white people being discriminated against the refugee system. Now, according to reports, President Trump is considering a major overhaul in the U.S. refugee system. That's, of course, coming from the mainstream media. New York Times is the source on that. So again, tread lightly. Proposals aim to prioritize white applicants that speak English, Europeans and white South Africans. It's apparently his main focus in all of this because for far too long they were discriminated against. So the New York Times is going to make it seem like, oh, he's discriminating against minorities. No, no, no. These individuals were discriminated against. They, in fact, don't even want to admit the fact that white South Africans are being killed in their country by black South Africans. President Trump has no problem acknowledging that, of course. Applicants would be required to take a class on American history, values, and cultural norms. Wouldn't that be awful? Teaching people how to assimilate in our society. Not that we have to welcome whatever they want to bring into our country, but we teach them about American values and American history and how not to hate this country. That would be awful, wouldn't that? Work at the New York Times, you probably think, yeah. Yeah, that would be horrible. Again, President Trump making sure to reverse the discrimination that's been taking place for far too long. Many of you know Trump suspended the refugee admission on the first day of the White House, when he entered the White House, I should say, and requested federal agencies to evaluate the programs to align more with U.S. interests. Yeah, that would suck if we had to actually abide by that, right? Put America first. Yeah, they don't like that. We don't like that at all. Folks, in case you wanted to something to feel a little optimistic about, we've got clip 17 for you. This is supposed to remind you about how lucky we are that President Trump beat Kamala Harris in the election. Take a listen.
What I've done and the fact that I was elected district attorney for two terms as the first woman elected attorney general of the state of California,
ran the second largest Department of Justice in the United States, second only to the United States Department of Justice. I was a United States Senator, second black woman elected in the history of the United States Senate. And I was the first woman vice president of the United States. So.
What a list.
There are those things that I needed to make sure that people knew.
That is a decent resume, but go ahead.
But there,
she's unbearable, folks. The reality is we dodged a bullet with that woman, that we don't have her running this country right now. Thank God we don't have that woman running this country right now. She would have destroyed this country. She is a moron. She is literally the clear-cut example of what DEI has done to this country. Thankfully, President Trump is running the show, or else we would have been stuck with that. We would have been forced to have listened to the race baiting 24/7, how she's the first black woman, blah, blah. We won. Fortunately, though, yeah, we won, but we might get another Kamala Harris tour. There's reports that she is thinking about running again, which would be amazing if she did. Because then she got beat by, we'll say, President Trump for her. A second time. And so we look forward to that if she does decide to throw her hat in. I think President Trump should just go for it. Run again. Why not? Really get them upset. We do have a clip that's going to go a little too long, so I'll explain it to you. But Zohran Mehdani, that's the communist running for New York City mayor, he says that if he's elected, he's going to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, if he comes to New York. Now, of course, Mehdani is a communist. He is someone who is looking to, according to him, uphold international criminal court arrest warrants if Netanyahu does come to New York City and if he's elected as mayor. It's very likely that he is going to be elected as mayor. We're awaiting a debate that should be taking place, I believe, tonight between him and Andrew Cuomo. Obviously, Cuomo, not a very likable person either. It's like the battle between, like, who's the worst commie that you could imagine. Got these two as the front runners for the race, and it's not looking good for New York City, regardless of who it is. But I guess you'd rather go with the person, with the demon, you know, which is Andrew Cuomo. It's a really strange time when I find myself saying, yeah, well, we'll take Andrew Cuomo. Thankfully, I don't live in New York City anymore, but it's really sad to see the collapse of a beautiful city that I once called home. Spent a lot of quality time in New York City, and here we are dealing with the future, which is a communist. Folks, thank you for joining me today. Of course, make sure you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. They have that free $10 they're going to give you with no minimum purchase required. Plus, we're doing overdrive when it comes to our 25% off store-wide sale. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com now and help support us. All right, folks, the Alex Jones Show is up next. Do not go anywhere. There's more to unpack.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
You get an additional 10% off right now at TheAlexShowStore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs in the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network Backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.